Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast, the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. This podcast is our first step back in since, before our bear hunt, where we're starting to get back to our normal schedule. All the boys back in studio. It's all down the pipe. We're busy, busy right now, which is good. No complaints. We just found out the Wisconsin show canceled. We won't be there. Illinois Deer and Beer Fest canceled. Won't be there. So no more trade shows for us for the rest of this year. Kind of sucks. We'll see you at ATA show, or we'll see you at Nebraska right after ATA show. Other than that, we have clearance sale going on. Hang and Bang shirts and Trippin' Duo 150 shirts. We have some new versions of both of those coming out, and another new design will be hitting the store soon. Stay tuned for that. Man, this podcast was a ton of fun. We had Mr. Sam Gaylord and Johnny Utah in the studio talking everything old barn taxidermy. And if you appreciate hardworking people and true, just red-blooded American businesses, old barn taxidermy is your spot. I hope you enjoy this episode. Sam is honestly one of my favorite people of all time, I think. I just like that guy. He reminds me of one of the good old boys that I grew up hunting with that I learned how to hunt. So it's just kind of cool, you know, when you run into good people. They're everywhere in the hunting game. So the podcast is presented by HHA Sports. People are texting me right now. I apologize. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. I'm shooting the regular Tetra. Steve's shooting the regular Tetra. Doug and Eric are shooting the Tetra Max. And we're all shooting the Virtus Rest. All lifetime warranty, all American made. Basically, they've sourced out all Midwestern materials and companies and all that to basically make their products. So that's pretty cool, too. And they support our veterans with HHA USA. So check them out. Scent Crusher. You know, right now, our scent crusher, like room cleans and ozone goes and stuff like that, are working overtime. Coming into some of the fall hunts we have planned, Eric and I are going on the antelope hunt. Eric, my old man, and the Buckstorm boys are going to be chasing antelope again. So we will be using them on that for sure, because the wind's a mofo out there, especially on a wire antelope. So that will be a huge help. Victory Arrows. I believe we're all going to shoot the Rip TKOs again this year. This is going to be my third or fourth year in a row shooting them. Love that arrow. I've never felt the need to change. I've never cussed my arrow ever in the time of shooting those. I switched from another brand to these arrows, actually, through Ross Bigger's recommendation. He had a little bow shop at the time, and I haven't looked back since. And that was before we even partnered with them. So there was just a bonus that I already shot that arrow, bought those arrows, and became friends with them, and they're one of our partners. So super thankful for that. Victory Archery, check them out. The Rip TKO, if you're in the market for new arrows, good stuff. Gator Outdoors, lifestyle brand, good people based out of Eastern Iowa. Wade's due for a podcast. We keep saying that. It's busy, busy out here. Check out GatorOutdoors.com. Elite Archery. So for all outdoor group products, Elite, Scott, even if we're not sponsored by them, code WCB is 20% off. So you can get a brand new Elite Ember for like $400 out the door. Brand new bow. That's insane. It's perfect for you if you're looking for something new. It's a super adjustable bow. If you want to get one of your youngsters that bow and have them grow into it, if your wife's on the fence about, you know, maybe getting into archery, that's the perfect type of bow to get her. Because if she's not that into it, crank it up. You got a second bow. You got a bow for your kid. You got a bow, whatever you want to do. It's versatile. It's pretty freaking cool. 400 bones, code WCB. It's pretty kick-ass. Big Time. So you better start thinking about fall food plots. I feel like I'm already behind the gun. Everyone that came to the shoot, I think, left with a bag or two of Big Time or more. But if you didn't make it out to the shoot, if you've always been curious about Big Time seed, code WCB2020. I should have that written down here, but I don't. Saves you 20% off food plot seed. Check it out. Buck Brunch, Last Stand, Can't Go Wrong, and the whole other line of food plot seed. Highly recommended. And if you have an Ace Hardware and they don't carry it, you can order it and have it shipped for free to an Ace Hardware. It's fucking badass. I don't know what else you want. Hunter's Blend Coffee, helping us through our hunts, helping us through our work days. I'm super thankful for that crew. Good people there. Real good people. Damn good coffee, you might add. Old Barn Taxidermy. Damn it. We're proud proud partners with Old Barn Taxidermy. Can't even talk. I got so excited about it. But I don't really need to plug them because this whole episode's all about Old Barn Taxidermy. But if you're in the area or you're near an outpost, that's right, they have an outpost and they have a shop in Colorado. But if an outpost, basically, if you don't want to drive to Fort Madison, Iowa, you look up where an outpost is, call them up, drop your shit off, Old Barn will have it. Thermoset and can cooker. Super thankful for all our partners. And we are thankful for you for listening to the podcast. I am excited to get everybody back in studio next week. We should be on our normal schedule. We got a lot of fun episodes on the docket this summer. We hope you enjoy. Hang in there. Shoot your bow. Take the time to do it now. That way you don't get to cuss yourself later. In the meantime, hope you enjoy these episodes. Hopefully we're helping you through your workday. We are feeling for you. If you're welding, grinding, working in a stagnant testing lab like I'm doing, any labor at all where you work outside or in a shop or anything hot, we feel for you. If you work in the AC, good for you. But you just can't fucking bitch about the weather. That's fair, right? That's fair. Untuck your shirt. Relax a little. Listen to the podcast. Enjoy yourself. The rest of us wage brains will sweat out knowledge and calories, and we'll gain it all back through Bush Light and other cheap gas station beer. That's what we do. Wage brains. Hope you enjoy the episode.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. This one should be a fun one. We have some in-studio guests. Old Barn Taxidermy himself, Sam Gaylord's in studio. Thank you for coming, sir.
Cool, cool. Glad to be here.
And Mr. Johnny Utah's in studio as well.
Yes, raising, sir. I think he's raising the roof right now.
Raising the roof.
Yes, sir.
And, I haven't seen that since the 90s, I don't think.
And Eric Heyman.
I'm here.
No Steve. No Doug. Steve. We're going to have a packed studio. Down. Steve might have COVID again. He's going to be the dude to bring it back. So we're giving him a break.
Yeah. He's the guy that has it three times.
Yeah. He's complaining about getting benched, and it's like, well, how bad you want to kill a buck, man? Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you get COVID last time you were here, Tony?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Hey, it's tough.
So. That was from Steve.
It's tough out here.
You just got to man up when you get on the podcast.
Hey, yeah. Do you want to keep doing this outdoor content or not? That's part of the biz.
Yeah.
But no, thanks for coming to the studio, guys.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me.
Sam, I know we talked about doing a podcast with you guys for, I mean, shit, a while now.
Long time.
It's well overdue, I can say that.
Well overdue. I think it's perfect timing, though, because I just was there picking up deer and dropping off a bear.
Beautiful bear.
Thank you.
Holy crap, man.
Dude, I'm still on cloud nine. I'm sure everyone's probably tired of me talking about it.
You'll never come off cloud nine.
No. I'm so thankful. I really am.
Amazing. It's just kind of like sitting in this chair I'm sitting in, you know?
You feel that way?
Yeah.
You don't got to butter it up more than it is. Yeah. But no, I am super thankful. But I thought that the timing of it all, it was perfect because I got to pick up deer, finished products from your guys' shop, and then drop an animal off that I don't have yet in my taxidermy collection. And that, it kind of like resets your taxidermy, I don't know what word I'm looking
for. Your compass.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like concerns on you don't really know what you want. You don't know what you need.
Right.
You don't have an idea on what it will look like when it's done. Deer, I have enough deer heads. I kind of have an idea on like what it could look like and what I want out of a deer and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, coming in with a bear, I don't know any of that.
Right.
And
then bears, you can just make them do anything. I mean, you know, we like to get in your head. I love it when we come in, we talk about stories and where you're going to put it. You know, just like coming to your house, I get to see where you're going to put it.
This is working out great.
Yeah, so I get to say, well, you know, if we need to be on this wall, we need to be doing this or doing that. I mean, it's definitely, you know, about getting that personality and getting the most bang out of your buck.
Yeah.
Before we get too deep in this, you want us to tell us who you are and like how you kind of got
Old Barn? Well, I'm really nobody.
How you got Old Barn started and all that shit?
Yeah. Great work, Eric.
Yeah, I don't know. I started Old Barn. I've actually been in the taxidermy industry since 1993.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you, but
it doesn't matter.
I was a little older than that. But, you know,
you're just a boy, though.
I was a boy. A boy in a man's body, maybe. Still am, I think. Anyhow, no, I had an ex-wife that was a tremendous artist, and she had had a job that was just amazing, lost that job through a merger with the company, and we were sitting around saying, what are we going to do? You know, at the time, we'd saved a bunch of money because, you know, we knew that it couldn't always be this great. You know?
Yeah, right.
So we got checking around, and she actually decided to be a taxidermist. I mean, we sent her up to school. There's a school up in northwest Iowa, and she went up there for 9 weeks. And I kind of lived it through her eyes for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then 2006-ish, I'm guessing, we just had a life change. We kind of grew a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shit happens.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sitting there. I lost my house and my truck and everything, my family, everything went away. But, you know, I start scratching my head. Shit, I just lost my taxidermist. You know?
Right.
So
that was the one thing that stuck out.
Yeah, you know. Here's a guy who loves to kill stuff, and now I don't have a taxidermist to do my stuff. But I'd lived it through her eyes, even though I had never done any of it before.
Yeah.
So I made a phone call to one of our mutual friends and said, hey, dude, you know, if I bring up some deer, will you kind of walk me through this process? You know, I've seen it 1,000 times, but never literally did it. And, you know, he said, yeah, come on up. So that first year I took like 3-4 deer heads, just called buddies up, you know, and, you know, they took a chance and hoping that it wasn't going to be gag me ugly. And went to my buddy and he said, you know, after the first two, he said, you got this, dude. I mean, you know, you kind of know what's going on.
Got into the pattern of it. And
Yeah. You know, and I'd seen so much of it that, you know, I just needed to get that hands-on to see, you know, how to actually implement what I'd watched all those years. So
sure.
It worked out good. It worked out good. I didn't ever think I could do it. You know, I'm not
really?
I'm not artistic at all. You know, I'm just, I can't even draw a stick, man.
Okay, you're probably giving a lot of guys hope.
Yeah.
Right now a little bit because I know.
Yeah, because I'm not the smartest guy in the world, you know. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
You got to work a little harder.
Yeah, I got to work a little harder. Stuff. Right. Then I met Johnny and it all come twofold, you know.
everything just started.
Got that wage brain.
Yeah.
The wage brain is what I like to call it.
Yeah. I got a man crush and we've been together ever since.
Yeah.
It's adorable. You guys are a great couple.
We're cute together.
You are cute.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we're, you know, we celebrated our first year.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm proud of you guys. Yeah. This is good.
Yeah,
this is
good.
You guys have a nice date. And
Yeah.
He brought me a gift today.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah. You got them new grunt calls.
Those things are awesome.
Them things are the bomb.
Let's not leave the podcast without talking about that before this episode's over.
Yeah, for sure.
So cool. Like you basically took a bad situation, more or less, and turned it around for the better, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. You know, what I thought was probably the worst thing that could happen to me, I was, you know, mid-40s when that was going on. And I'm like, wow, what am I going to do here, you know? Turned around and it ended up being it's going to be a nice ending of my career. I mean, you know, I can't see myself doing anything other than this now. I mean,
it's
something I just love. I'm passionate about it. It's the people. I love the people.
Yeah,
you know, I love meeting guys and gals and reliving them stories and kind of like your podcast. I mean, you know,
it's exactly
something you really guys really like and embrace.
Sure.
And,
for sure. So you learn taxidermy. You get that all flipped around. I mean, I'm sure right out the gate it's your passion, right? You're a hunter, and then taxidermy is like the coolest thing. So
yeah, everybody wants to be a taxidermist.
Right. I mean, yeah, to some extent,
sure. You did some taxidermy classes, right?
Yeah, I did a game head course with Joe Meter in Solon, Iowa, right out of college.
Joe's the man.
And dude,
he's Mr. Whitetail.
It was intimidating, man. It was intense. And You know, I had some experience, and that was my plan, is to be a taxidermist out, you know, when I got done with that. And that's how I met Mark Reif. And, yeah.
Mark does beautiful work. You know, that's the first work I got to see here at his house, man. It's nice stuff.
Great taxidermist. He is. He's real good. And a great dude, too, you know. Yeah. We hit it off real well. I kind of just did winter apprentices when I was laid off from my other job and helped him out. And it just turned out to be one of those things that I just never dove hard for it. I had intentions to, but it just didn't. And then I always could too, like later on, you know, of course, but
I think, you know, like today taxidermy, there's taxidermy schools everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think if you went in there and actually did like a post taxidermy school look at the students, I bet 1 out of 5 is not a taxidermist.
I would say that too.
Yeah.
People
are passionate about it. They want it.
Yeah.
Then they figure out it's freaking work.
It's a lot of work, and it's, I could probably stumble my way through a deer head.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and then I got more experience helping Mark and stuff like that. But I wouldn't have the confidence to do one for a customer or something like that, you know.
Right.
And I wanted to have, like, the correct facility to dive into it and all that. But it's, you know, I'm making excuses, blah, blah, blah. Right. You know, maybe one day I'll jump into it. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
well, I got a place for you down there.
Well, you know, and we'll see what happens.
I always need help. John helps me all the time.
When my wife leaves me, I'll probably hit you up and come down. And
when you have that midlife crisis.
There's life. There's life after the wife leaving, I'm telling you.
Right. So you start doing taxidermy. So how long before you have a shop from that point?
Oh, you know, I was working construction at the time. Actually, I owned a large construction company, and we had like 280 employees. I was in three states. Whoa. Yeah, it was crazy. It was in 2009 when all that housing garbage was going on. And we weren't actually a house builder. I owned a company that did housing, but it was clear separate of this big company.
Mm-hmm.
But we had just signed a huge contract to take over the whole state of New Mexico as a phone guy.
Yeah.
You know, we had like show up times. We had to be there in 3 hours. So, I mean, it took a lot of resources.
Yeah.
So we'd opened up 5 branch offices. I'd hired about 100 people down there, and life was good. I mean, it was rolling really good. I signed that contract in June to be shovel ready January 1. June of the following year, life is good. I'm rolling down the road listening to the local radio, and I hear they got bought out.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just near shit my pants.
That's how you had to find out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was horrible. So I called procurement. Them guys were in Denver, you know, and I'd been working for this company for like 15 years as a general contract in all of Iowa and Nebraska, right?
So mm-hmm.
I knew these guys. Like, I went to their kids' graduation parties and stuff.
Right, you know? Right.
Call them up. I said, why didn't anybody tell me? I said, you guys let me just invest all this money. And I said, well, we were in a gag order, man. We couldn't tell you. But your contract's good. It's good. You're fine. Uh-huh. Well, my contract was good, but everybody I'd worked with for 15 years took their golden parachute and left.
Right.
Left a bunch of kids that couldn't allocate work or get, you know, invoices through.
Yeah, yeah.
So I literally went from invoicing this huge amount every week to this little bitty amount. And, of course, I got this huge-ass payroll.
Right.
So I got my banks together, and one of them little banks was bought a bunch of loans on the East Coast during that housing thing, and they were failing, and they got chicken shit on me, and next thing you know, I'm broke. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was worse. It was, you know, here I'd lost my wife right before that, and now I lost my business. And
God damn, man.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was crazy. And I'd gotten remarried in the middle of all this, so.
Couldn't even imagine all that shit.
Yeah, it was pretty depressing for a few days.
And that's when
a few days.
Yeah. Well, and that's when you know you found a good woman, because she married you at the bottom. You know
what that's true.
Well, no, here's the deal. She married me when I was on top, and she took me to the bottom, or rode with me to the bottom.
Right.
And everybody, you know, the whole town, I'm from a little town, they're like, oh, you know, she married him for his money, you know, because I had money.
I mean,
you know, I maybe wasn't rich, but I was pretty good off at the time. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well,
they found out it was other things that she stayed with me for.
Well, of course. We won't. Maybe we won't.
We won't get into that.
My goodness, you're a tripod.
Yeah. Like Hammer Time, right? Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the era I'm from. Hammer Time.
I had the old Austin Powers reference on that. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's okay, so.
Anyhow.
Let me ask you this. You seem like a positive, like you're always looking at the positive. That's how
I was not positive in that time of my life.
Right. How could you be for a little bit there, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously you had the will to like make it out and get back on your feet.
Push forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, push forward.
I have been blessed to be able to look through situations and make money. I mean, that's just always, you know, that's how I grew that business that big. You know, and not only did I have that business, I owned a car dealership because I had 280 of my own vehicles, so I might as well be buying them for myself, right?
Right.
So then I had 280 idiots wrecking my trucks. So guess what? I had to have a body shop, right? So might as well fix my own stuff, right? So I poured all this concrete for these other companies. Like, well, I might as well own the concrete company. So, I mean, I had five businesses that all tied to that one business.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I did find out something. Never be the guarantor for all your businesses. So right. Let's split that around, because when they take it all, you know. They want everything.
Man, that's fascinating to me, that mindset, because, like, we have this business.
Yeah.
And that's where we've learned a lot of.
We can't keep track of two people, let alone that many.
Right, you know. But
well, I can't either. I hire good people.
But it would be, I think I could be good at any business that I dive into and want to care about. And that's the key, right? I want to care about this.
You have to be passionate about it.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are passionate. Look at John here. You know, he works all the time. You got to be passionate about what you do if you want to be successful.
For sure. You know, and I guess, you know, I work at John Deere's my day job, and when I leave John Deere, I don't give a fuck about combines.
No.
But, you know, I guess if it was my combine shop, I'd be singing a little different tune.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd be really passionate about combines because it's going to make me money, whatever. But anyway, so all this tanks, and you're basically looking.
Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? You know, and actually, I had a local guy, an old friend of mine, who's a huge investor. I mean, he loves to invest in people.
Mm-hmm.
He called me. And he said, "Sammy, what happened?" And I told him, you know, same story I just told you guys. You know, we were going good, and all of a sudden we weren't. I mean, it's just it happened in 6 weeks. I mean, literally went from businessman of the year to broke in 6 week period, you know, to this four eyed devil that lost everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, because people don't understand.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, the people that from the outside looking in, you know, they don't get it. But anyhow, this guy kind of got a hold of me. He said, "Can we at least save the local jobs?" He said, "I'll invest in you." And so I went home, and Linda, my wife, you know, love her to death, and we're sitting there. So, well, what are we going to do? And she says, "What are you going to do? You don't know anything else,
mm-hmm.
you know." And I'm like, well, shit. You know, so next day I built a business model around 20 jobs and you know, having a small telephone communications contracting company right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he invested. He wrote me a large check, said, "Go get what you need." And I kind of did on a handshake just a 3 year and out thing.
Yeah.
I told him I'll do it for 3 years. And end of three, I wanted to be done. At that point, you know, I sat back. I had already, you know, been doing these deer heads, you know, and doing that as my hobby, you know, just kind of that. I think by then I was taking like 35, 40 maybe.
Yeah, that's a pile.
Know? Yeah, and just enjoying it. And I told Linda, I said, you know, I think, you know, I could build this taxidermy business. We'll just use the business mentality of the big business and all the way we track things and everything we do. And let's put that into, you know, this industry over here and do something different. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm that guy. I never know where to be satisfied. So
A good thing, probably.
Yeah,
right?
You know, and I'm a chaser. I like to chase, and you know, we've grown that into quite a business today. I mean, we've got 20 full time employees. We got two full time locations, one in Iowa, one in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
We've got several major drop off locations. We're over there in Rockford, Illinois, at GotDeerDown.com. He's a huge wild game processing center. And I've got a lot of what we call old barn outposts just around different places. So,
great idea, by the way.
Awesome idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, with taxidermy, to be really, really successful and have a nice business, you just cannot get it locally.
Right.
And most of the big taxidermy firms that are large, they're chasing them 1% money.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing the international stuff. They're doing the, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The corporate. John Deere guy, the John Deere executive who makes $600,000 or $1.6 million a year.
Yep.
I've never chased that guy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to chase that guy. I got a couple of them just because of circumstances. We do really nice work, and I knew them.
Well, of course, right? Sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, look at you guys. You know, I got this corporate account here. You know?
Right.
This is freaking, you know, I got the 1%.
Jesus, I about spit my beer out.
It is what it is. Shut up, Barry.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I never chased that. That I don't go to SCIs. I don't do that. You know, I chase the local working man.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
I like that.
And I'm making a good living with it. I mean, you know, we like I said, we got this thing up. We're running 20 folks, and you know, we're doing almost 400 game heads a year, which is
nuts,
freaking awesome.
Yeah.
You know? We own a tannery. That just kind of spun off right in the very beginning. I didn't think I could get enough taxidermy work to be full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, and I knew the industry because of my ex-wife, you know, and I right. was always, I was.
You're
I was
always
the
in it.
Yeah, I was the husband at the shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was very, she still is, she's very talented. So she was a big award winner.
Yeah.
So everywhere we went, everybody knew her. Well, you know, I got that drag along because I was Sam. You know, I was, you know, I was the fun guy in the back drinking all the beer. You know,
fun guy.
So you know, so anyhow, I knew if I started this tannery that I could tan for a bunch of these guys.
Yeah,
that's the nasty part of the business.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of them around, correct?
There's not a lot of small ones. You know, most of the tanneries are very, very large, the mm-hmm. successful ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do 80, 90,000 skins a year, and we're doing 8,000. So, you right. know, what we do is we get to know the people we work for, and, you know, we can customize it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's they're not a number. They're
a name.
You
can build that personal relationship
yeah,
with them.
Yeah, and when and the way we market the stuff and the way we store it and the way we market in our bins, we can go get your hideout, Eric, for John's taxidermy. I mean, we know where Eric's hides is, you
right.
know?
So, mm-hmm. right.
so when Eric's bitching to John, he can call me and say, hey, man, you got to get me this guy's hide. You know, we can get that out quick.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It's just a neat service. It's a neat, it's a niche market.
Well, it's better for you. It's better for that taxidermist. It's better for the customer. Oh,
100%. 100%. And right now we're working for 400 other taxidermists.
That is impressive.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's cool.
That is very cool. So you could have a taxidermist in wherever, and I'm talking to a listener right now, your taxidermist could go through Old Barn. You, in a way, could already be a customer of Old Barn Taxidermy. You might not have known it.
Yeah, this year we have done 8,000 deer scalps or capes.
Wow.
So 8,000, you know, and out of them 8,000, we probably will do 300 of those ourselves. So, I mean, there's 7,700.
Other going out there,
or other the hunters that's got our work.
That is very cool, man.
Yeah. It is very cool.
And it's impressive because we've all been there, you know, and seen the tannery and got to see a tour of your guys' facility in Fort Madison,
it's
Iowa.
It's impressive.
And it is impressive. It's so cool to see, you know, because I didn't really understand the volume of it and how it all worked until I was there to see talking to you.
It's fun crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
It's cool to see.
It's bizarre.
And you got some good people working for you too,
dude. I'm so blessed. I mean, you know, my whole family works there. My youngest son, he's our customer service guy. My oldest son, he runs the tannery. Oh, he's the operations manager.
Yep, he's the one that took us on the tour.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter, she works part time in our ruggery. I mean, we do for them bear rugs. We do five every week. So, or I mean, three every week. So we're doing you know, 150 bear rugs.
I got a nice detailed tour of that last week, I think.
Yeah.
Well, what time this airs, whatever. But a week before you came in or whatever, and it's cool, man.
It is cool, isn't it?
It's
big stretching tables.
Yeah, that's the thing. I still want to talk about the business stuff before we get into like the a little more detailed stuff. But just the setup is impressive.
Yeah.
Because I've gone to a pile of different taxidermists since I was younger, you know, and I've seen taxidermy shops where like I'm you know, because I didn't know any different when I first started killing deer when I was you know, 10. My first buck, I'm hanging on the wall behind you guys. I think the first place, it was in some dude's basement, and like half the bricks in his basement were falling off, like the foundation
that's
was caving
how a lot
in.
Of the taxidermists are,
and nothing's wrong with that, like they're doing what they got to do, but I was genuinely concerned like whether or not I was actually ever going to see that deer again,
right?
You know what I mean? It's a little bit of that. And you know, and I've gone to some other taxidermy shops where, you know, they seem nice. The facility is nice, but the John and I were talking. We are both tattooed individuals. It's art. You know, you find a good tattoo artist and you don't realize how bad your other tattoo artist was until you're at a good tattoo artist. Right. And then you got subpar tattoos, which to me, I'm kind of like, hey, that's part of the journey of getting tattooed. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I have one of my biggest deer out there, I cringe a little when I look at it because at the time, I hadn't gone to taxidermy school and hadn't been educated on it. To me, it looked like a deer. Yeah. And you think you know what a deer looks like, but you don't know what a deer looks like.
No.
And that's where a good taxidermist actually knows what a deer looks like.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like the outline of a deer. I'm talking, you know, Eric, if you're just some random guy, I'm like, hey, draw me a deer, detailed. Draw me a deer eye.
I couldn't do it for sure.
You'd be like, Shit, I guess I don't actually know.
All right.
Well, your tax numbers can't either. So.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of anatomy. There's so much. I tell everybody I'm kind of a product of our state taxidermy association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you go to those shows, it just, you get to see the best of the best and, you know, the worst of the worst, and a lot of times, you know. So you, in order to be really, really good and do good work, you got to want to do the furthering education.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to, you just can't be in your garage and never see another taxidermist and never
become complacent.
Right. You know, and there are guys, we're not the best. There's some amazing people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just amazing. And amazing guys in little garages and in basements with the brick falling in. I mean, there's some of the best guys in the world are out there doing that kind of stuff. You know, and, you know, I just tell everybody, everybody's got a different gig.
Yeah, for sure. You know? For sure. Yeah, I didn't mean to downplay some taxidermists like that, but it's just, it makes you feel better when you come to a spot that you feel like you're in good hands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know the work's going to be pumped out.
It becomes, you know, it's your first impression.
Exactly.
You know, whether or not the work's great or not, you know, and I talk about this all the time, is power perceived is power achieved. Well, whatever your first impression is what, you know, that's how you feel about the establishment. You know?
Right. Absolutely.
So that's something we've tried to do. And I know just in the year or so we've known one another, you've probably seen a lot of changes in my shop.
Yeah.
You know, we are always trying to get that shop just where it's absolutely pristine when you come in and it looks nice. We got a nice showroom. Now, none of it's big enough ever.
Yeah, right.
You know,
you always need more space.
Oh, but I always need more space. And it is actually an old barn. Mm-hmm. I mean, my showroom was actually my driveway. I mean, you know, I needed more room, so we added on to the old barn out into the driveway. But definitely, we like to be perceived as the fun place, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that way. When I come, anytime you go to your taxidermist, it's a good time. Just because it means you were successful, you're picking a deer up, and
best time of your life.
The cool thing I like about it's like it's almost like an old barn experience. You walk in, the showroom's there. You're seeing other customers' deer heads hanging in there. You're looking at mounted bear and elk and all sorts of just beautiful work there in the showroom.
Yeah,
and then you know you look back and you can see Julian and the guy like mounting up whitetails. I walked in the other day, dropped off my bear. You're working on a bear there.
I work on a bear every day,
and it's just cool. And then I guess where it bleeds into the experience of me going back where Eric did the right thing and regrouped us at the beginning, but me not knowing, resetting my compass for taxidermy. I don't know what I want out of that bear.
Right.
I have an idea. But that's where I like to have a knowledgeable taxidermist, someone that I know is going to do good work, because you read me, I think, better than – I think you know what I want out of my bear more than I actually do.
I hope so.
I felt confident leaving.
Yeah.
Because when I brought it in, we talked. I'm like, hey, I don't really know.
Yeah, you had three ideas in one time there.
Yeah.
You know, we talked rug, we talked life size, we talked half-life, you know.
Yeah.
And then we worked around to half-life. I mean, you know, you got – with a bear, it takes up a lot of real estate, especially a life-size bear. So, you know, John's bear was one of the biggest ones I ever mounted.
The giant.
And, you know, he did his standing, which now it just takes up the size of a refrigerator.
Yeah. More or less,
you know? But if you put that thing on all 4 feet, then you got a chest freezer.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's the first thing I want to talk to you guys. You know, the bear guy's like, where are you going to put this? You know,
yeah.
Some guys have huge man caves and, you know, It's not a problem, but, you know, not all of us have that luxury, you know.
Trying to shove in their living room.
Yeah, you know.
In their apartment.
We got to make fit. I mean, you got John's big mansion. You know, he could have six or seven of those up there.
Right.
You know, he's got to go on.
Six or seven of them.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping, so.
Well, I mean, hell, it'd be good for you guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And John, if he's got six or seven giant bears to mount.
That means I had six or seven awesome bear hunts.
Like Boone and Crockett's, baby. Yeah,
exactly.
And, you know, that I talked to my wife about that. You know, she's so supportive about the taxidermy game. But she's kind of like, hey, you know, you got 18 fucking deer heads.
Right.
Let's maybe map some. And I get it. I'm like, yeah, they got to be X amount or bigger now. I like shooting deer, you know, so it's hard for me to pass. It's tough for me to pass 150-inch deer, you know. It's hard for a lot of guys to pass 150-inch deer.
You know how I get 150-inch deer? What's that? If the 120 don't walk by me yeah. first. Because I'm liable to shoot that son of a bitch. If I'm having a good night, if it's fun, I stick an arrow in.
Dude, that's oh, yeah. I love slinging arrows.
I'm sorry. I you know, I can't even apologize for it. I love hey, it. I no, love it.
I get that, man, 100%. Well, yeah. the conversation we had is I'm like, hey, there's a chance I could kill like a really good color phase bear out there.
Yeah.
And for me, I killed a great color phase oh, bear out there. Bear. So, bear. You know, it was kind of, we talked about it, you know, spring bear, he's shedding a little bit on his belly. You're like, ah, maybe full mount might not be the route. And
yeah.
and I wasn't really feeling the full mount idea because of space, you know. Right.
And that's the thing. You just kind of got to talk it through, you know.
Yeah.
And I love just listening because I can listen and finally that,
that's,
come finally
that's where
come
I'm
up,
getting at.
You can, finally you come can up figure with what out you what, want.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is, okay, if it's your first bear and your only bear and you saved up $4,000 and you're not going to go back,
yeah.
well, then we probably need to do something wow, no matter what the bear is.
Yeah.
You know, sure. it might have a rub on it, but I can cover it up.
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
I can put a tree in front of it. But, you know, if you're going to get a go a lot, you know, and most bear hunters, once you get that adrenaline high and you kick off and you shoot that bear, you get a it's an addiction. It's a sick addiction, mm-hmm. just as bad as whitetails.
Yeah.
I have it bad.
Yep.
I mean, I love it. I love it more than whitetails. I love bear hunting.
I said that a lot. I was like, bear is something that I probably want to do once, and I don't know if I'll do it again. Johnny, we might have talked about that on the podcast.
Yeah, we did, because I was the same way. I'm like, I want to do at least one bear hunt,
mm-hmm.
just to say that I did, know what it's about, experience it.
Yep. Yeah.
And I told Sam when I got back in town, I went, well, looks like I'm bear hunting every year
now. Right. You know, the best thing about bear hunting is it is in May. And in August, uh-huh. there's nothing else to do.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
You know, you come that's out true. From shooting turkeys, mm-hmm. and you get to go bear hunting, you know?
Yep,
it's kind of nice. And it's just starting to get hot here in May, usually. You mm-hmm. know, it didn't this year, but it's supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, we got screwed this year, but whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get to leave here, and you go up there, and you're back into that spring weather, you know?
Oh,
you, you
nice.
Got the cold. You know, when I was talking to you about your experience, you talked about the snow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then at that point I know, hey, he's got a good coat on this bear because there's still snow on the ground.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so that's cool. And then in August it's 115 freaking degrees here, guys.
Yeah,
yep.
You know, the humidity is what 100%.
Yep.
And we go out and put our hoodie on. Like, what better life is that?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know,
for sure. Well, and that, and I guess what I wanted to get to is like the, because I had the customer experience, right, of
yep.
kind of like not knowing what I wanted, and that's. What we went through, you asked me the questions, you kind of evaluated like where my mind was, took me to see, you had a half mount in there that I fell in love with.
Yeah, thanks for all.
Oh man, that thing, unreal.
Yeah.
I just looked at that and like melted. I'm like,
that's a big chocolate in Colorado.
That's a big bear.
That's a big bear.
And then, but you showed me where you had all the rugs done up and showed me, you know, like what would be comparable to my bear size. Cause that's the thing I struggle with is like, I know what the bear looked like in person. What? How would he look on the wall? Because I've seen other guys' bear mounts not look like they thought they would look. Like, oh, this it looks 100 pounds smaller mounted than it right. did when I shot it. And I notice a lot of taxidermists. It seems this way with predators, and maybe you can break down why. It seems a lot of taxidermists, they miss a little when it comes to doing predators.
Well, you know, in taxidermy, everybody kind of has a niche.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Julian. Julian loves them whitetails.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, he is so bitten by a whitetail. I mean, that's, you know, Tim Cooley, he's my bird guy. His whole goal in life is to be the world champion with birds.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, he just, well, I'm the bear guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love bears. That's yeah. that's my thing. I can do a killer whitetail. I mean, I've done well with whitetails, but I really don't care to do another whitetail personally.
Because you like bears that
I much. Like to do bears. You know, and I get enough bear work, I can do bear work. 52 weeks out of the year.
See,
I
mean, that's right. cool. And you can
and I'm in
tell
south,
that.
And I'm in southeast Iowa. Can you imagine if I was bears. North somewhere? You know,
right.
yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But, no, to get back, when you're doing mammals, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of guys that are whitetail guys that mm-hmm. don't do a whole lot of mammals or bears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the form manufacturers, they've only got certain sizes, right? So say you want a left turn with the right leg up. Well, there's so many choices that we have size-wise for a left turn with the right leg
it's
up.
It's not like a whitetail where they have a million options.
No, no. So we get the form, right? Now, a guy that's not experienced, he makes that skin fit that form,
mm.
which means you cut these big grooves and you tuck all that stuff away. you know, when you get mm-hmm. done, you got that bear that might look 100 pounds less.
Yeah. Okay, that you makes know. Sense.
To be exceptional in a bear mount, you want to make the form fit the skin.
Yeah.
So that means you take, and I literally got a chainsaw. You know, mm-hmm. I got a plug-in chainsaw. You take a chainsaw and you cut it up and you alter it and you know, you stretch that skin. You get, you know, with deer, when you come in and look at deer, of course the neck makes a difference, but you look at your horns. Well, you look at when you bring your bear or come get your bear, you want to see the size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got to give you every square inch of that bear back.
Right.
You know, and there's guys that do it. There's some really great bear people out there,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a ton of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. And I can tell that because, you know, on the way home from Wyoming, it's a 19-hour drive.
Yeah.
And everyone's right away, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? What are you thinking for a mount? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I've seen a lot. I've seen your bear work and love it, but then I've also seen a lot of other people's bears, and I'm just not crazy about it, you know?
Right.
So that's why I was leaning so hard on the rug at first,
yeah.
Just because it's kind of a classic thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I Google image. And
who doesn't want a bear rug? Let's be honest.
Yeah, right. It's cool.
Yeah.
So I Google image.
You can make babies on that.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, you sure can.
James Bond had bear rugs.
Fuck yeah. So I Google bear taxidermy, you know, rugs, full mounts, half mounts, all that. And, I mean, most of the images on Google are rough bear
right.
mounts, you know?
Right.
Well, then, you know, I come in, see the rugs, fall in love with the rugs. And this, I hadn't seen that half mount. You showed me the rugs first. And I'm like, I like this rug right here. This is kind of where I'm leaning. You know, I was sold. And then we go down. I see that half mount. I'm like, oh dude.
Shit. Gotta have that.
Yeah. Oh, man. The facial detail and just the realism of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look mounted.
No. See, that, and that's another thing. You know, I do so many bears that, you know, let me back it up. I've been doing this bear hunting since 1993,
mm-hmm.
back when I started the taxidermy business, basically with my ex-wife. We had a sporting goods store at the time, and I was selling Golden Eagle bows. I don't know, probably before your guys' time.
What business didn't you own?
Yeah, this is probably way before your guys' time. Golden Eagle come out with a lift kit, right? So they had these 2 and 3 inch blocks between the riser handle and the limb, and it was cool in this day.
Really?
It eliminated you from having to have an overdraw. You guys probably know what overdraws are. See, I'm old school here.
Right, so. Okay. So a lift kit for your bow.
Lift kit for your bow, right?
Dang.
So I was a Bass Pro Shop affiliated bait shop, right? And I was ordering that junk through Bass Pro Shops.
Uh-huh.
Well, I would get one in and it'd go out the door. I'd get one in and it'd go out the door. You know, I'm seeing this starting to happen. I mean, this is really cool. So
yeah.
I called Golden Eagle, you know, and here I'm just a kid, no money. You know? I just sent my wife to taxidermy school, blew her a whole life savings, you know. I call up the Golden Eagle and I say, hey, I'd like to buy factory direct. He said, well, we'll send you down a rep, right? So that's cool. So this old boy rolled in and he was cool shit. He was from Duluth, Minnesota, right? And he's got this handlebar mustache. He's got her all waxed up and he's got on, you know, he looked like Fred Bear. I mean, he had that kind of look, right?
Right.
And he flops open this book and there was this big picture, 8x10 picture of him with a chocolate bear.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've been bear nuts my whole life. And I, at that point, I'd never got to go bear hunting yet.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I was bear horny, if you can say that. Right? He had no clue. I mean, he just stabbed in the dark, right? And I said, dude, where did you get that at? And he was telling me. And I said, you know, I really, really, really want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, really. He said, well, hey, there's this new kid in Nipigon, Ontario. This is his first year. He's looking for, you know, guys to promote him. Yeah, right. guys to help promote him. So I was basically his influencer for the first year. So my end of the gig, hey, you book 8 guys, you get to come for free.
Hell yeah.
So shit, I booked 8 in the spring, 8 in the fall. 8 in the spring, 8 in the fall. 8 in the spring, 8
doubling
in the fall.
Doubling down on
that's
them.
That's two free hunts, right?
Yeah, I was hunting spring and fall because back in Ontario, you could do that, right?
Right.
So me and him got to be best friends. His name's Bob Bearman. And that is his God-given name.
That's Bearman.
Bob Bearman.
That's his name.
That's his God-given name. Now, how could that ever happen? And
he
literally
planned that out. He had to have.
Bobby's 10 years older than me, so he's 65, 66 now. But back then, you know, I was like 26, and he was 36.
Yeah.
And he was the dude. I mean, the dude. He boxed. He was he played hockey.
He's a man's man.
He was a guy you don't want to fuck with. He was John Mulligan back in the day.
Just cooler.
No, I can't say that to John. He's here.
Oh, I forgot you guys are honeys.
Yeah, we're honeys. But Bobby was my first man crush.
Yeah.
I just got to say that.
Understandable.
So, yeah. I'm sorry, John.
He's a good dude. Yeah. And that's where I hunted last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that makes it even cooler. Like, yeah. It's continued.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
So he passed that on to you.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So did you feel the same way about Mr. Behrman?
Yeah. I mean, like Sam said, I mean, even at a spry 65 years old, I don't know if I'd fuck with him.
Oh, he's still jumping real.
Yeah. Well, so he has a big shop. Wood carving shop. Yep. And
he's a chainsaw guy.
Yeah, and he's got his snowmobiles.
He is a man's man.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal. And but he tries. He better stick to bear hunting.
And you go in there and he's got a speed bag and he's got a weighted bag and I'm like, is this like novelty shit? You know, this is like back in the day. I'm like, hey Bob, let me see you work that speed bag. He's like, oh fuck, okay.
Just going to town on it.
Oh, man.
That's impressive.
You know? Oh, yeah. He's the dude.
That's awesome.
He's the dude. But anyhow, I've been doing this for 3 years for him, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he called me, Sammy. What? He said, there's this show over in Peoria, Illinois, this whitetail show. He said, will you go work a booth for me? Well, hell yeah, man. I'll be doing that, you know?
Yeah.
So now I'm booking like 24, 25, 36 people a year for this dude, right? And I'm going up. Of course, I'm the guy. He's loving me, right? He's digging this because I'm putting over half his clientele up there. So, I mean, we're just loving it. But now I'm up there 2 and 3 weeks at a time because, you know, I book all these guys. And, of course, everybody wanted to go with me.
Right, yeah. Right. Like, you were the personality guy to book for.
Yeah, because I like it and I loved it and I was the one that sold him the hunt. So now I'm up there. I'm getting to be at camp 3-4 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I literally get to lay my hands on, because of that experience, you know, 30, 40, 50 bears a year.
Shit ton of bears.
That are laying on that table that had been killed that day.
Right.
So I know what a bear looks like. I know what it feels like. You know, and I do what I call Stevie Wonder. I close my eyes. I walk up to that bear, and I rub my on everyone. I rub it from the nose up through the eyes, back over the cranium of the head, and up to the ears. When I mount my bears, I Stevie Wonder those bears.
Oh, man.
I close my eyes. I start rubbing that back. Now I know, you know,
that's
it's
crazy.
Basically in the right spot. But the thing with going back to the form companies, you know, they got a generic head. They look like Winnie the freaking Pooh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? there's not a head out there that fits the skull right, just perfect.
Doesn't feel like a bear?
No. No, they don't feel like a bear. They don't look like a bear.
Yeah.
They look like crap. You know,
yeah, that's fair.
And so that's something, you know, I take in. We take the Dremel tool. I get all that eye junk out of the way. I get all that brow stuff. I take most of that nose gone. You know, and I rebuild all that back. I build it back with clays and do the right things. Well, then I'm laying my hands on that. I'm closing my eyes, and I'm Stevie Wonder and that bear. Next thing you know, I open my eyes up, and poof, it's there.
No kidding.
It's there.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. That's a fucking talent right
That's
there.
A hand of experience, though, too. You know, that didn't happen in 2 years. That happened in...
No. My first bear sucked.
But, well, of course, though, right? You know, like you gotta. That's how it's gotta happen.
Yeah,
it would suck if you were amazing. I mean, maybe not for you, but it just doesn't work that way. It's not how things happen.
No. Yeah, but it's pretty cool. And like I said, I'm just blessed with me booking for him, and now we've been booking for another outfitter over in Manitoba and Saskatchewan. So, and that all come about as Linda and I have both shot, you know, a lot of black bears, and in our camp in Ontario. It's basically all we kill. I mean, all these years I've seen one colored bear there.
No kidding.
Well, I've been colored bear horny.
As
much as I love a black bear, from now on out, I want to shoot stuff that's, you know, a little bit different.
Unique.
So, and to do that, you got to go west. I mean, if you want to consistently, I mean, you could fall into one by accident, but if you want to consistently kill a colored phase bear, you got to go west.
Yeah.
So I hooked up with this guy over west, and actually, the year I was supposed to go with him, my mom was passing away. Mm-hmm. So Linda took the group and went up, had a great time, and that's a really nice outfit. The guy's name's Wayne Bass. Color bears are just phenomenal, and they're just mountains of them. I mean, just mountains. I mean, you hunt right on the Saskatchewan border, so you can hunt in Saskatchewan or Manitoba, either where he's wanting to put you. And that's phenomenal. So I'm doing that in the spring now, and I'm doing Bobby in the fall.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
But that's how I get so much bears to do. I mean, you know, I book for both these guys, and by the time you book Bobby, you know, 25, 30 guys, and I book, you know, 20 to go up there to Wayne.
Well, it sounds like with Double Diamond, there might be a trio coming in because, and by the time this airs, that you know, we have episodes that are going to air before, because I have so much from that trip.
Right.
So in podcast land, for the listeners, if this doesn't make sense, just know that. But, you know, I have people hit me up already, and to go for next year and wanting to do this stuff. And Double Diamond's like, hey, we, you know, let's figure some stuff out here. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of Midwest guys that's the thing, right? That's one of the dreams is to kill a bear through the bow.
It is a dream, and it's an achievable dream for the working man because
right.
It's not all that expensive. I mean, you can.
No.
My highest end hunt that I sell is $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
But I sell a $1,500 drop camp hunt.
Right.
And the guys that know how to bow hunt, they get them with the $1,500 drop camp.
Yeah, right.
You know
right,
what I'm right. saying? But they're doing their own tracking, and they're doing their own skinning and everything, you know?
Yeah.
They take their own food. They live in a tent, you know, yeah. the whole nine yards. It's cool.
Kind of a cool experience
overall.
Yeah,
it's fun. Overall, yeah. And that's what I used to do when I was a young man.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't stay in a lodge or, you know, I wanted to be in the bush.
Right.
You know, I want to be riding my four-wheeler.
Right, no, right.
I mean, it's
definitely on that bucket list, though, for a lot of the Midwest guys, you know, where we don't have bears around here,
yeah.
and it's,
yeah.
it's very achievable.
Sounds like we're going back to Wyoming next spring.
Well,
so
you're gonna,
far,
you're
you know?
Going to make it to Ontario, too, I believe.
Hey, I'm down for it, you know.
You're going to have to quit that stinking job you have.
Hey, that ain't no shit.
You got to be like me and John, just do nothing.
That'd be
we work from home.
Just do nothing all day.
We do nothing all day.
What would you say? Perception is reality, man.
Perception is reality.
You know, honestly, I need to take like a leave of absence from like October to January and then now in the spring to do spring bear hunts.
Yeah.
Right. You're getting closer.
Yeah. I mean, opportunities are coming up. It's starting to suck having a day job.
Yeah.
You
need a can in your day job.
It sucks being a working man.
It sucks being a working man.
You need a can, man. It's overrated.
Yeah, you know.
Paying your bills, that's overrated.
Dude, my wife can do that, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
Shit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because I got lucky that my first bear is a color phase bear.
That thing was gorgeous.
You know, super thankful. But I do want to kill an all black one now.
Yeah. Well, I got the place for that.
You know, so, hey, I know we're up for it, man.
Yeah.
We definitely are.
Totally.
August 15th. I'll
be
there.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if I can swing it this year. I already got another antelope hunt planned.
I'm in, man. Just tell me where to sign up.
There you go.
There you go, dude. Yeah.
You need to.
Eric,
you're in.
You
can roll with me.
You would absolutely love it up there.
Might as well do it.
Yeah.
You got the time.
I got time, man.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Eric's going to Canada. Canadia.
You know, the problem this year, you know, with the spring, nobody could get up there.
Right.
You know, because the whole coronavirus.
That's what we did with this hunt at Double Diamond in Wyoming. It was like, hey, we have like last second bookings. A lot of it got canceled. We have some openings. Like, hey, you want to sell them to your listeners? All right, let's try it. It was literally my buddy Clint Casper called me. We're going bear hunting. There's a few slots left. Let's go.
And
it
in
was
a
like,
month.
Yeah, in a month. We're
in
going.
Month.
And I was like, okay, yeah, let's go. Like, I had the time.
Yeah.
You know, thank God he called me, you know, for a spring hunt. It wasn't because I burned all my vacation come fall.
We're going to quit that job.
I need to quit it. My boss probably listened. He's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know.
I've been wanting to fire you anyway. We'll figure it out.
Just do that side hustle every once in a while.
That whole corona thing, that screwed up a lot of stuff.
Dude, yeah. Screwed a lot of shit up for us, too, with trade shows. You know, we had a bunch of shows planned.
Yeah. So every single one, almost.
With Madison's the next show, and I'm hoping that'll happen, I think.
I think so.
With the way things are going, but...
I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, if any Midwest guys kill a bear or that's on your docket and you do that, I mean, you know, there could be an old barn outpost. You can – I mean, what are the ways – if they don't have an outpost near them?
Well, you know, we run routes with the tannery. We've got great big clover leaf routes that we run with either me with a semi-truck or I got an old guy. We call him Santa Dave. He does a lot of our – route running around, so
yep.
If they just call us and tell us, hey, you know, we'd like to use you and we're in such and such area, you know, we try to accommodate that.
Yeah
You know, with the bears, you know, of course, living in southeast Iowa, you know, I got to get bears from out wherever I can get them from, so
right,
I mean
right.
And we do a lot of delivering too with the bears. I mean, you know, it's fun for me. I like it. I love to talk to the guys and I like to see where they're going to have their final destination. I mean, we can't always accommodate that, but we try real hard. And then if a guy really, you know, if we can't get hooked up on a route and a guy really wanting to use us, I mean, once you wait till, you know, cold weather sets in, just stick it in a cooler and ship it.
Yeah.
You know, I get a lot shipped in. I mean, I bet we get shipments every day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
really.
Yeah.
That stuff scares me a little bit. I'm a worrywart, man. Like, the boys were making fun of me on the way home because every time we'd stop, I'd go and be like, I'm going to go check on my bear.
You came home in 100-degree weather.
Yeah.
You had every reason to be a worrywart.
And also, you know, my bear, I shot him at night. By the time we got off the mountain, it was 1 a.m.
Right.
And I'm like, we got to go back in the morning. So we went back. It was cold that night, luckily, but
right.
that was concerned me right out the yep. gate. And then we got him out, got him skinned, got him hung up, let him air out, and then tried to keep him cool. But a couple of days out there during the day, it got hot. We went in, you know, out there in Wyoming, you have to check him in with the biologist.
Oh, I know. That's a bad deal.
And it was in the back of a truck that was kind of hot, and I'm like, ah. But then immediately we got it rolled up and put it in the deep freeze and, yep. and got him frozen solid. And then I had him frozen solid for the ride home and then had him on blocks and kept the water off it.
Yep.
And then immediately threw it in my deep freeze at home. And I think you could tell how concerned I was.
Yeah, but I think you did everything right. You know what? I'm the bear guy, and I shot a big old chocolate bear about 3 years ago. I shot the last night of season, mm-hmm. or last night that we were going to be there, I guess. And I was the dummy that rolled it up and tried to ice it home, and I lost it. So,
yeah.
You know, my boys in the tannery, they always come in, boss, we got a problem. I'm like, whose is it? And they come in that day, boss, we got a bear slipping. Whose bear? Yours. My chocolate bear.
Oh, no.
You got to be kidding.
The whole thing was bad?
No, but it's bad enough I can compete with it. I like to compete with our stuff.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'll be honest with you, we've got all these bears shot, and I haven't mounted a bear for myself. Now I think I showed you when you were down there, we just put that new bear wall.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some diorama and kind of do like a Cabela's kind of thing.
That's
with
awesome.
With the rocks Absolutely. And stuff like that. But, you know, my lifelong goal, and I might be getting too old to achieve this, but I would like to win the world with a bear.
I mean, I don't think you would be, man. That's definitely achievable.
Yeah, but there's some guys your age that are just doing killer work, and they got better eyes, and, you know, they got more time, and they're more... They got more passion for doing it at night. You know, I'm kind of a 9-to-5 guy now. You know?
Yeah.
I've got to be that.
You've achieved a lot of shit in your life, though.
Yeah, but I'm kind of getting lazy. When it comes 5 o'clock, I want to just go in and
crack a cold one.
Hey, yeah,
I get that. Yeah. But you know, also too, look at it this way: it's hard for a dude that's 30 years old to have 25 years of bear experience.
Well, that is true.
That's true.
You know.
No, I like how you're thinking.
You know, I mean, honestly.
You're making me feel good about this. Maybe I can.
Yeah. Well,
but
I have faith in you.
To get back to that, me and Linda, we've killed a lot of amazing bears.
Mm-hmm. How many bears do you think you've shot?
Lots.
Like, throw a number at it.
No.
You don't want to?
No.
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah. Not as many as you think.
Over 40?
Oh, no. Not
over 20?
No. Dozen.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You were saying you're shooting... 2 a year for a bit there.
Well, I didn't shoot 2 a year. I went twice a year.
Right. Okay. That's fair.
Oh, went twice a year. Yeah. You weren't shooting twice a year.
No.
That's fair.
No. I wounded a couple in the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Then I shot a couple nice ones. And then I got to be a drunk when I was in camp. You know, I don't drink much here in the States, but I get up there, I turn into this looning drunk. And I'm the camp clown.
Can confirm.
Yeah, I'm the camp clown.
But when you're in camp like that, that's a different atmosphere you're in.
It is.
Right.
It's totally different atmosphere.
You know, and you're cutting loose. That's
you
kind
are
of
cutting
loose. Well, you know, and you got to go back through that time frame. That's back when I owned that large construction company, and pressure was on. And, you know, I couldn't never get away from that. But when I got to Canada, it was like, oh, man. I can
let loose.
I can let some shit down here.
Yeah, absolutely.
$50 case of beer and
tear into it. Yeah, that'd be an afternoon.
No shit.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know. When you start booking people, you hate to be the guy always bringing the bear in.
Yeah, shit, right.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see that too. Yep.
And I do love people. That is a trait that I've had. It's made me successful in every career that I've had. And I enjoy loving you guys getting them as much as I love getting them.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, my youngest son, I started taking him some. And then, you know, my wife, I've trained two wives now to hunt. So both, you know, it's like training puppies, you know. You got to take them out, you know. And they squat on the floor, you kick them in the ass, and you take them back out. You know, my wife's going to kill me. My other wife might kill me too. But,
honesty.
That takes some years out of your hunting.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, especially bears, because, you know, right off the get-go, you know, they don't want to sit by themselves.
Right, yeah, understandable.
So, you know. Now,
but in the end, it's got to be an enjoyment seeing them shoot a bear, shoot a deer, or whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, it's kind of, in camp, I shot the biggest, just by luck, I shot the biggest bear in camp that week. Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't want to be the biggest bear in camp. People are like, yeah, right. I'm like, I honestly don't want to be the biggest bear in camp. Like, I would rather see my homies shoot a monster that we're freaking out about when you bring it back. Like, I want that experience. I am gunning for all my buddies to kill bigger shit than me.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every year.
And that's the way it is with me, especially when you book them.
Right.
You know, when you book them and you come rolling in year after year. Now, you know, with the bear hunting, everybody gets addicted. So it almost becomes old home week. You know, I see these guys once a year and it's a bear camp because the same 20 guys come every year. Well, when you're the same guy dragging in the big bear every year, every year, every year, you know, they just raise a brow on you. So
I get that.
And I miss a lot of bears too. You know, I'm not the best shot in the world either. I mean, that could have screwed me a little bit.
Yeah, could have put a little bit of a hindrance there. Yeah. Do you pass a lot of bears? Like, is there a certain bear that you're like,
if I like it, I shoot it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, you know, it's there for a while. I wanted giants, and I've shot one really, really giant that's right up there with Johnny's.
Really?
Yeah. I think his was like 20 pounds bigger than my biggest bear, but it was a monster. My wife Linda shot one bigger than me and John shot. We didn't find it.
Oh, no kidding.
She shot this thing had it was ugly. I got video of it. It's literally, it was ugly. It had tumors on it. I mean,
oh, no kidding.
It's probably this 100-year-old thing, but its belly looked like it ate a Volkswagen.
No, you know, kidding.
It was dragging the ground, come waddling in, and no hair. It would have been the most belly ugliest dragon. Mount. Of course, I don't mount our stuff anyway, but it would have been the most ugliest mount in the world.
But it would be cool at the same time.
Yeah. Well, no, I'd have freaked out at
the skull.
I'd have been crying. It would have had a great skull.
Yeah.
But I got on. I wanted to shoot big bears for a while. So, you know, you don't always see those big bears. I mean, you know, John's testimony, he went up and spent, 7 days? And you've seen some nice bears. I mean, you had some Pope and Young bears in front of you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
For sure. I mean, you might even had one. Almost booner there.
Yeah. That middle of the week I had that one, and I told the story on here.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in hunt mode.
Yeah.
I come to full draw and then realized there's nobody running a camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I let down, position the camera, punch record, and I missed my window.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. Shoot.
And that's the thing, those big bears, you know, they got big for a reason. It's like a whitetail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And bears know they're stealing. They know that they're going to McDonald's to get a double cheeseburger. And they know where every McDonald's is in the county. You know, it's us. You know, I live down Fort Madison. I know where McDonald's is in Keokuk. I know where it is in Fort Madison.
Be like if there's a dude chilling in the parking lot that, like, could kill you when you're going there to get a McDouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
you're still going to go there.
You're just like, I need that McDouble, though.
Those big bears, in my opinion, in all the years I've been doing it, they make big routes. They don't go to the same McDonald's. They're here this day. And it might be 3 weeks, but they know that McDonald's is there. They're going to come back eventually.
Yeah.
So the resident bear, he's the one that doesn't get his ass kicked every day because, you know, he's kind of on the look. He goes in there, he gets his donut first.
Yeah.
And he gets the hell out of Dodge, you know, just in case the resident, the big monster, comes through on his trip to McDonald's.
Right.
So that's typically what a guy sees. I mean, you see some nice bears, you know, you 250, 300 pounders are really getting to be a good bear.
Yeah.
But to get them 500 pounders, you know, that's a once every several years thing.
Yeah, giant.
And you could get lucky and get one in a week, but that literally takes, you know, you got to be there a couple weeks. You got to be able to spend some time.
Put some time in for it. Just like a big buck.
Yeah. So we've got what we call the 1,000-pound club out of our camp. It's just a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to kill two bears that will weigh over 1,000.
No kidding.
And there's like four of us in it. Me and my wife's in it. I'm sure John will get there.
You're one bear. How big is your bear again, John?
545.
That's a monster.
Oh, yeah. It was big.
We never weighed mine. I mean, he wasn't anywhere near that big. But that's the thing. I know I've already talked about this on some other shows, but judging bears I found was the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
And
that's what I think, too, because I have no fucking idea about bears.
I honestly had ground. So everyone just told me the first bear you see you'll shoot, and because you'll think it's huge because you don't know how to look at it.
Yeah.
And then in my head, and everyone told me first bear you see you'll freak out because you're like, holy shit, that's a bear.
Yeah.
And I saw my first bear, but I had that in my head, don't freak out. So I was like, not that it ruined it for me. I think it prepared me.
Right.
But I was kind of like, okay, there's a bear. And it came in. I told the story already. Came in. I draw back. I'm looking. I was like, should I shoot this bear? Nah. And I'm looking. Well, then that bear got spooky. Then my bear came in. I'm like, okay, well, that bear just spooked off. So this bear must be a lot better bear. I looked at his head. I'm like, oh, shit, a lot bigger than the first one. I'm shooting this bear.
Right.
And when they all came up, like, how big was he? I'm like, I don't know. It could be a a big cub for all I know.
Yeah.
And
once that arrow's got loose, it's the biggest bear you ever shot. Might as well be.
It was.
Because it's already dead.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And be happy, you know?
I'm thrilled with it. I had ground growage by a long shot on my bear because I just didn't know.
That's cool.
And I'm sure you would have been happy as hell with that first bear, too.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. They're both color phase. I've never seen a jet black bear alive.
You've never seen a bear, period, have you?
I shot the second bear I've ever seen in the wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a buddy from southern Missouri. We booked him on a hunt, and he'd been up there like 2 years with us, and he came in one night, and he's just freaking, man, I shot this monster. And as the night goes on, you know, we're drinking beer, and we're eating, and
having
a good time. He's telling the story, and he's like, yeah, he walked in the barrel, and he got a donut and walked out. And I looked at my other buddy, and I thought, ooh.
Oh, but in the barrel.
Yeah, this is going to be a bad deal, you know. So next morning, we're out there, we're tracking, you know, and we come up with this little wee bear. And he's like, well, that ain't the bear I shot. And I rolled it over, and he shot beaming arrows back then. There's this beaming arrow sticking out of him. Purple fletching, right? I said, isn't that your fletching? He said, damn, Sammy, I thought that was bigger than that. I said, well, last night when you kind of mentioned how it walked in the barrel and out, I wasn't gonna be the buzzkill here, but man, I knew that was a wee bear at that point, you know.
And that's what I always heard too. It's like if it looks like you'd have a hard time getting them in a barrel, it's probably a decent bear.
Yeah, it's okay bear.
Yeah,
that's how you kind of judge them, like compared to the barrel.
Yeah, and that's how the first one was like. It would be tough getting it in the barrel, and then when my bear came in, I was like, I don't think I could get that one in that barrel.
Right.
But
the bear you want's the one that when you got the barrel standing up, that it's above that barrel, above the third ring of the barrel. Then you got a good bear.
See, I didn't let mine get that close because after seeing the first one, I didn't even let my bear get to the bait.
And that's another thing. If you know,
man, you really ruined his day, didn't you?
Dude, I'm like, you ain't getting any treats, sir.
Yeah, get an arrow in him. I did as soon as you can.
I have it on film too. I'm like, yep. I didn't. He was 10 foot from the barrel. He's like, what? Damn it. Whap. Whap.
He's just looking to get that donut.
It was awesome, though.
It is fun.
That first bear that I saw on that first trip up there in Ontario, whenever he came in, that was my first thing I said. I even said it out loud. And I go, oh, big bear, big bear. Because I could just see like some legs, you know, moving. And I'm oh my God. I was like,
freaking
1,000-pound bear. And then I'm looking at him and I'm going, eh. As he's getting closer to the barrel, he's actually not getting any bigger. The barrel's getting bigger.
Yeah,
right. And I'm like, oh, my God, man. I almost shot like a 100-pound bear.
It's got to be deceiving as hell.
Yeah,
because it's got to be.
It is.
Well, I don't know
if it's a bear.
Their color.
There's four inches of hair hanging down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Their silhouette looks big, and they're not
so,
that big.
So different. And then later on in the week, I remember one of the other hunters in camp, he comes back, and he's smiling, and I went, uh-oh, I recognize that grin, you know what I mean? I'm like, dude, did you get it done? And of course, this is like the ninth bear that week that had gotten killed, and I'm still sitting with a, you know, goose egg.
Uh-huh.
So I'll admit, I'm always happy when other hunters, but at this point, I'm getting kind of pissy. You know what I mean? I'm
you're
like,
just a little aggravated.
Yeah, I'm like, right, come on, man. You mean everybody shot one but me?
He's on his cycle at that point.
Yeah. I'm just like.
It's a nine-day cycle. Uh-huh. You just heard that.
That time of the week.
Yeah, that time of the week.
Yeah, and I'm like, day damn. Nine.
I get it, man.
So this guy says, he goes, dude, he goes, I just smoked a giant. I smoked a giant.
Uh-huh.
And I'm standing there with Bob, you know, Bearman, and Bob's drinking a little bit. He's feeling pretty good. And,
yeah.
And the guy walks away and he goes, you think it's a big bear? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, he says it's a big bear. He's like, well, let's go get it. So I'm like, well, I'm holding down camp. I stay there. They come back. I see Bob and I'm like, how big was it? And he goes, I fucking grabbed him with one fucking arm. Throw him over my fucking shoulder. He's because he shot a fucking cub.
That's what I was scared of.
Yeah.
And so that's like when they came up, I'm like, I don't know. And then I felt like guilty because I was trying to ask them genuinely like, hey, is this a good bear? Like to me, I'm thrilled, but I genuinely want to know on the bear chart, where is this bear? Yeah,
right.
You know,
right.
And they wouldn't really answer me. They're like, dude, that's a great bear. And I'm like, yeah, but like where though? Like I'm not going to be offended. I'm thrilled. Don't let me. I didn't want to come off like I'm trying to downplay or upplay my bear either direction.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, for educational purposes.
Yeah.
What kind of bear is it?
Yeah.
And they thought like right around Pope and Young. Yeah. Like, right around 18 inch.
Like shooting a nice 8-pointer.
Yeah.
A big, nice, heavy 8-pointer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you and I talked before you told me the weight, I went ahead. I wanted to throw it out there immediately, just so to give you some reassurance. I had seen the photos, so I knew it was a good bear. And that's what I even told you on the phone. I'm like, dude, Montana, Colorado, Wyoming, spring bear, you shoot a bear 300 pounds. That's a big fucking bear for that area. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Especially spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 6'2".
Yeah.
That's a good bear.
So, yeah.
That's a good bear.
I was thrilled.
You know, and you figure in the fall, you got to add 100 pounds to it.
Mm-hmm. That's what they told me, too. Yeah. Like, dude, this bear would be a chunker.
Yeah. But he wouldn't have no hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's another thing. If you got a guy that's really wanting one life size, you know.
And spring is better?
Yeah. You know, this is a bad salesman part of Sam. You know, I try to talk you out of it if you shot it in the fall. I say, oh, you sure? You know?
Right.
And, you know, I post a lot of beautiful bear pictures on Facebook and on our website and whatnot, but those are spring bears.
Yeah.
You know, they got hair from God.
What percentage of bears that you mount, are most of them spring bears?
No. Combination of both.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Most of the life size are spring just because, you know, when you first become a taxidermist, you want to mount them all. Right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. For sure.
And you're horny to make the money. And you're like, yeah, but now that, you know, I've got a successful business, I don't need to mount them all.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to talk to some of the guys. If it's not nice hair, you know, I told you about this, you know.
Yeah.
If this thing's got hair from God,
let's
mount it.
Yeah.
You know, because hair from God is pretty rare,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
to get that perfect. But, you know, if it's your only time to go, let's mount it.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
right.
If it's got sentimental value, let's mount it. But if it's not got great hair, let's pull a half life off. It don't take as much real estate up.
And that's right. What we did, too. I had a bunch of pictures of my bear laying. And this goes back into, like, the decision process of a good taxidermist helping the client in a way that you care you want the best possible outcome for their art and for their memory. I had pictures of my bear laying on his back, and you said, let me see his belly. You're like, yeah, he shed a little bit
on
his
belly. Light on the belly.
A little light on the belly, like maybe not do a full mount, but, you know, maybe a rug might be perfect or a half mount might work really great.
Yeah.
And you kind of went over, I mean, you went into detail. Show me one of the rocks that you were doing on one of the half mounts that you had in the shop and basically said, you can do this with it. You can hang it up high because the bottom of the rock is finished. You can hang it low like it's standing, like the rock is on the floor. And walk me through all the steps. And then by the end of it, you know, I didn't know how to, like, put into words on what I wanted my mount to look like. But I could tell that you were getting between the lines of me not knowing what I wanted, what look I wanted. So I left feeling really good about that.
Yeah. Which is what you want a taxidermist.
Which is what you want, especially when an animal means so much to you. You know,
for sure.
I may never kill another color-faced bear ever again.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and when I went, and right before I left, I talked to Sam a little bit, and he was mounting bears, you know, in the shop, and you actually were in the middle. You had two bears that he was
fighting
working
bears.
On, and so I'm like, okay, what is the live weight of this bear? And I was trying to educate myself as much as possible, and then he was showing me things on the hide. You know, when you go up there, be looking at these things. Looking at this, and if you can look at him from right side, left side. And that's probably actually what saved me from getting that, like, you know, boar fever, we'll call it, instead of buck fever. Because I was actually just focused on study the hide. And I got to see the left side. I got to see the right side. I got to see a skull and the muzzle and the face. And I'm like, he's not scarred up for a fall bear. I'm like, this is a life-size mount.
See, I would be like, I'm going to think about all that shit. And then when time comes, I'm like,
zipping
right out the fucking window, you know, and I'm shooting that bear.
No, I mean, it legitimately, like, it saved me because just knowing me and looking back at the video footage, I should have been shaking like a leaf. Like, holy crap.
Right.
You know?
That was a big bear. Experience in hunting, you know, whitetail, whatever it is, some, you know, and every year is different for me, but I didn't get shaky until after I shot bear.
Yeah, I fall apart.
And that's an experience. But I think what did that is me talking to guys that had experience bear hunting, interviewing you, John, about your big bear, and people just like, look at the bear before you get too excited. I studied it. Yeah. You know, I did the triangle method on the head, and I'm like, I went into it like, I want to kill like right around that Pope and Young type bear. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was able to get.
I would
get,
be
you know.
Surprised if that bear does not make Pope and Young.
I was asking, so Austin Chandler and Ross. Ross has two 20-inch bears. Chandler's got like a 17 and an 18. And I was with Clint. Clint has a black bear so big that he knows he wasn't even really concerned about getting a bear because he's like, I know I'll never kill a bigger one and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I think his was, man, you guys have to talk to him. I want to say it was, almost 21 or right at 21.
That's huge.
A giant.
That's giant.
He was with Adam Hayes when he shot his bear, and Adam's like, you will never see a bear this big ever again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gigantic.
You wouldn't believe that the bears with great big ginormous heads, that their skulls aren't that big.
I've heard that too.
They got just a lot of muscle. You know, they look like this guy over here. You know? Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the bear heads.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But it, what I've learned too is, like, bears are so hard to judge. Yeah. And even asking guys that live in bear country, you know, I'd ask one dude and he'd be like, 15 inches. But like, he didn't care. But then Chandler's like, dude, that bear's got to be 18 because I have a 17 and an 18, and that bear looks maybe a little bigger than my 18.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't matter.
No. Right.
But being a Pope and Young measurer, and I would love to have another species besides a whitetail that made the record book, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So cool. I'm hoping he's 18, right at 18 or better.
Yeah. I mean, mine had was 20 and 9. But they're in camp. Is Ontario always done this where they do the tooth sample?
Always.
Always. Yep.
They did that in Wyoming. They took the tooth.
So, and I completely forgot all about it. Like, I was so, like, adrenaline dump, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't remember this even happening. And then the other day I get a letter from Ontario and I went, oh, shit.
So, wait.
They're pissed that I flew my drone.
What did they do?
Oh, damn. So, they're, Bob Behrman, when he was filling out my paperwork, so I could get export, you know what I mean? So I could leave Canada with it. He pulled a tooth, and there's like a little envelope, and they just put a tooth in there, and that goes to Ontario.
Oh, really?
What is the French thing that's on that? What is that thing? It's like, it's French for bear hunter.
I don't know.
I did it on Instagram story the other
French
day.
French, I know it's French fries.
But it's like French for bear hunter. And anyways, I get this envelope comes in the other day. And like I said, I was like, man, I don't know if I got my permit for my drone. I'm like, I really didn't fly it much. Just, you know what I mean? I'm like, dang it. And I opened it up and it's like a little patch, you know, a really, really nice patch. And then it's a confirmation letter and it states your bear is 6 years old.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and, so they and I age them for you.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew that the bear wasn't
like,
really old
program, I guess,
because like the teeth were really good and the skull socket, the eye sockets were, you know, in good condition. So I knew it wasn't going to be a really old bear, but yeah. So he was six. He just
that's awesome.
Like, yeah,
you know, what's the average life of a deer or a bear?
Bears can get 25 years old. I believe.
No shit.
You know, Ross said he killed his bear, and he said that he might have been fed some shit. When Ross killed his, I mean, he killed some big bears, two big bears. And he said that he was 24 when he shot it. And this guy told him that that bear was 24 years old.
Wow.
And I don't know how true that is. He doesn't know how true that is. And, 'cause we were talking in camp, we're like BSing. Like that dude probably goes, how old are you? Oh, I'm 25. Yeah, that bear's 25 years old.
So he might have been shooting him a bunch of shit.
Yeah, we were wondering if that's like, how old are you, 29? 29-year-old bear. How funny is that?
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks that a bear, just because it gets old, it gets big. Well, it's not. It's genetics.
Yeah, right. You know, people.
I'm short and fat, so I'm going to be short and fat when I'm 90. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my bear had a dad bod like me, so I was like, it's cool.
Yeah.
I relate to that guy.
Exactly.
Sick.
I get it.
Take me out ethically. I'll be cool with that.
But it's 100% genetics. It's not got nothing to do with age.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I learned, too. I'm kind of glad this turned into another bear episode because I'm still hot on it. I'm still hot on that topic.
I feel left out here now.
That's all I have.
You won't be.
You won't be.
Everyone's like killing bears and shit, and I'm just over here like,
You're going in the fall, it sounds like.
There you go.
But they kept saying my bear was like chesty. Like he carried it up in his shoulders and his chest.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But not really in the rear end, but he was kind of like longer. I don't know. You know, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Not enough donuts.
Well, and you know, like Sam was talking about earlier, as far as like the talent that I see, because I'm fortunate that I get to be in there 1, 2, sometimes 3 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, and I get to see Sam working on these bears. Mm-hmm. And when he was doing my bear, and I know he's done this with other bears, the amount of modification cutting these forms, because like he said, he's on a whole nother level of taxidermy in the game. So he's not going to take a standard form, you know what I mean, and just
call it good.
Well, we're going to make it fit
that
form.
Just wrap a skin around it.
Right.
And one out of 20, maybe. They'll fit, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
And then, like, with mine, you know, he was going through the process with me. He's like, look, your bear carried so much more weight. We need to fill out the shoulders and the chest of this bear.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what we split it in half in two different places and then split it, you know, top to bottom again and added width to it. I'm like, geez, oh, peace. Like, yeah, he had like a week of fucking time. Work.
We added like 4 inches to each leg.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, in length?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was like a basketball player. You know what I mean?
So you go back, you know, John had a specific pose in mind, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. We talked about it a dozen times. And he was at the ATA show, and I was getting ready to alter this bear, you know? And I'm like, damn, I wish he was here. Mm-hmm. You know, because I really want to give him what he wants.
Exactly.
You know, plus right. I want to get my picture taken. You know, I like to get my picture taken. That's the funnest thing I do, you know. I think I'm pretty good looking. Personally. That's just
I wasn't going to say nothing, but you are attractive.
I am an attractive guy. So and I love people to get to see how good looking I am.
Of course.
I mean, that's a good thing. But anyway, get back to the story.
You got the body. You got to want to show it off.
Yeah, yeah. John's out the ATA, right? And I know he's busy working.
Yeah.
You know, but I got to call him. So, yeah.
It's a worthy call.
Yeah.
Oh, for
yeah.
sure.
Oh, yeah.
The pose that we talked about, I couldn't get anything even close to a 545-pound bear. the form was a 300-pound bear at best.
Yeah.
Okay.
Solid problem to have, John.
Yeah.
It is.
So, and the leg, John wanted one leg up, one leg back, and, you know, he had a specific, just exactly what he wanted, you know?
Yeah.
Well, this frickin' bear, the wrong leg was up, the wrong leg was back,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it was doing basically kind of what John wanted.
Yeah.
So I told John, you need to show me exactly. Well, he literally made a pose, a John pose. Somebody took his picture, right? And he drew in the tree where he wanted it. Shipped it to me. So
you need to get a side by side of that.
Yeah.
Sure. You need a side by side of that.
It was cool. And so I called John. I said, is there any way I can take the other leg up? He's like, well, yeah. And then we got talking. You know, this thing, this 6-year-old was pretty well endowed.
Mm-hmm.
And John's got him standing up.
Uh-huh.
Straight up.
Big
right?
piece.
Yes.
Big
so,
piece.
Then, so then we start talking about John's wife having to look at this well-endowed bear the rest of my life.
Making me feel inferior the rest of my life. Yeah.
So we decided, well, maybe that leg being up might kind of hide a little bit of that junk. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it ended up, we pulled that pose off.
Yeah, we did.
Just the opposite leg was up than what he wanted. But
and he made a good point that I wasn't even thinking about. You know, I in my head had a position, it's a black bear. I didn't want to have this snarling, aggressive
right.
black bear, right? But I did want him upright, you know, just show how, because he was a very long bear. I mean, he was 7'2".
Yeah.
A foot in a bear, what I've learned, and an inch in the skull is like two different animals. Like, my bear is 6 foot. Yeah. Your bear's a 7 foot. Like, I can't imagine another foot on my bear. And I've seen, like, a 17 to an 18-inch bear looks like a different animal from what I know. And I don't know shit.
Yeah. Well, and that's why they're measured in 16ths. Because
exactly, yeah.
It's
right.
such a big difference. But, I wasn't even thinking about having this thing spread eagle with his bits and pieces hanging out
his
for everybody
bird.
Yeah. 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 For everybody to look at forever. And I'm like,
I better
oh.
get that one right. You know, they're gonna be seeing that junk.
Yeah.
His
and I was
bits
like
and pieces.
Yeah, I'm like, dude. I'm like, I am so glad that we have
your
that
kid
leg.
For the rest of their life.
Yeah. Like, that's horrible, man. That would just suck.
You just got a loin over it.
Yeah. Right.
A little loincloth.
Yeah. I'm like, I'd be staring at that forever. So he made a good call on that. I'm glad.
That's fun. And our junk we build is really junk. I mean, I take in bear camp, I cast. I got all kinds of different sizes of junk.
You
I
do the
cast.
Same thing where you close your eyes and feel it up?
You know I do. I really do. I hate to tell that because, you know, I've talked about my man crush on Bob Bearman, my man crush on John Mulligan. Now I'm telling you, I'm feeling up bear junk. You gotta be careful. Your listeners are going to think I'm some kind of weird dude, and I'm really not that weird.
No, you're just a great taxidermist.
Yeah, I'm really not that weird, but yeah, I do fill that junk up.
Dude, the old barn taxidermy dick game is strong.
Super strong.
Yeah.
Eric, that was amazing, by the way. Close your eyes.
Just close your eyes.
Good one.
Okay, here. I'm gonna transfer this. It's going down a dark hole here, but I'm still going to talk about bear dicks.
The dark arts here?
The dark hole in a bear dick. That's a bad deal.
Bears have legit bones
yes.
in their dicks.
Yeah, swizzle sticks.
And I kept it, and I'm going to make it into a drink mixer.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
And right. everyone can judge me for that?
No.
Just don't have a drink in my house then.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Rad.
Sick.
Sick.
What? Yeah. So is that a thing?
That is a thing.
Because Chandler, I got the idea from him because he has a couple and he was going to use his as a drink mixer at the old Lord Chandler bar, but his wife wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
See, in our camp, we have a big dick contest, and it's got nothing to do with our own private junk.
Well, it's your bear dicks.
It's our bear dicks.
Not your bear dick, but bear dicks.
We skin them.
Yeah. Skin it, boys.
I should go grab mine because what's the
record?
Do
you have it here?
Yeah, it's out in the garage. I can go grab it. Yeah. I mean, it's like dry. It's the bone, but it's taken care of, right?
Yeah. I think that's how they get bone or...
Yeah.
Does it come from bears?
It might be a bear
bears
thing.
It's bears, raccoons. And raccoons. Yeah.
Yeah. They're full salute all the time.
Yeah.
I'd be more like a raccoon.
Mine was.
I'm right there with you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I want to say 7.5. But there was another one in
seven
camp.
And a half.
Yeah. There was another one in camp that week that was 7.5. And it was like a 300-pound bear.
That really means it was 4.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mine is probably. It's. Probably 5.
Yeah.
It ain't no 7. My bear was just like the average dude on the campus.
Could have been cold out there. You said you had snow. It was colder that day.
Yeah. I'm not there to judge him.
Yeah, don't look at me.
He was a grower, not a shower.
That's right.
I don't know if that works if you actually have a bone in your wiener.
I mean, honestly, I did not think we were going to talk about bear dicks on the episode tonight.
Well, it's worthy.
It's fucking
it. It's taxidermy related.
It's taxidermy. It's anatomy.
It is. It's anatomy. You know?
It is anatomy, and it's
think
fun.
About that shit.
Here's the thing. You go to a dude's place, and he's got a bear dick as his drink mixer. That's a man's man right there.
It's a bad mofo.
Dude means business.
Mofo. You know what the cool thing about bears is? People who like – bears are cool. Like a bear is a bear. It's badass.
Yeah.
They're an animal you have to respect because, I mean
– they could eat you.
They could eat you.
Yeah.
Like
they probably won't.
They probably won't, but if they want to
–
They could for sure.
You know, the odds of a deer killing you – that could happen. Not very good,
and a deer's
though.
Not going to climb a tree and get you.
No. My bear, I've been in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The second bear I've ever seen, first day on the mountain, shoot my bear. He goes over and falls. The other bear came back and was there till dark, and it just moseyed off all slow. I was a little nervous to get down because I didn't know. I don't have any experience with this.
I don't know where that bear's at.
I'm like, that bear looked like I could see him laying. I'm like, I think he's dead, but he could get up and have like
playing possum,
three.
You know?
Looking at his paw, it took him 3 seconds to wipe me out.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if I mentioned it whenever I talked about my bear on the last podcast. I left a trail camera. I had a camera on video mode at the bait, and I forgot it. So the next morning, I'm like, oh, man, I can't go back to Iowa and leave a trail camera out in the woods. So I went back to retrieve it, and then I'm like, I wonder what's on there. I wonder what came in last night, you know what I mean, to the barrel. And then you see a video clip of me walking past the camera. And then I come out, and that's when I was coming back to go get Bob so we could get the Argo. But while I'm gone to go recover my bear that died 30 yards from the trail camera, another bear comes in. I never heard him. He was 30 yards from me.
So you were at your bear?
Yes.
And another bear came in past you?
To the bait, yep.
Oh, shit.
In between by the time you walked in,
yep.
A bear comes in and then you leave?
Yep. And then so then when I came out,
that's crazy,
and walked past the camera, obviously he wasn't there then. I don't know if he got spooked off or whatever. And then when we came back with the Argo, you see the headlights come into the camera frame.
That's cool.
And that's what scares off another bear.
Oh, geez.
So,
no kidding.
Yeah. I mean, there was another bear. I'm guessing he was probably 350 to 400 and he was 30 yards from me. I'm on the ground and I never knew he was there. They're so quiet,
big
man.
Soft kind of, pads on their feet. You know?
It's freaky. It's pretty freaky.
They're fascinating. I know our listeners are either really into the bear talk and are like, I got to kill a bear now if they haven't, or they're tired of it. But I think, you know, because I was kind of that way. Like it was always on the list, but not. I mean, John, I don't know if you remember us talking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a little bit now about when you killed your bear. It's on the list, but then I had the opportunity, spur of the moment, to do it, and I had the vacation time, so I did it. And now I'm like. They're fascinating.
Yeah.
So it kind of moved it up on the list more.
Let's go.
A whitetail guy, and I hear this a lot, you know, they want to go up and they don't want to hunt over a bait. I mean, that's kind of a thing that a lot of guys.
Right. Yeah. I talked to Sam about this.
They just, you know, I want to go kill them. I don't want to hunt over a bait, but they don't understand what that experience is about.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different putting a food plot in.
Right.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. But, like, where we hunt in Ontario, it's so thick.
Yeah.
You can't spot.
It's the only way to, like, actively control them and actively, like, harvest. Well, Clint Casper, our buddy that's on the show a lot, he does a lot of Western bear, like Montana. He goes, I think he said, and I might be wrong by the percentage here, but if I remember correctly, I think spot and stock bears in the Western states is like 3% success rate.
It's like, it can be done. It
can be done, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to have some time. You got to be Jim Shockey or something to do.
He's been three or four times with his bow, and I don't even know if he's drawn his bow back yet. He's seen bears, but not like one that he wanted to shoot, you know.
But if anybody that's tired of listening about bears, they don't understand.
Well, I think once they go, will.
Start. Oh, my Lord. It's an adrenaline rush like no other.
For sure.
You know?
And, you know, I talk about it a lot outside of this podcast just with my friends. I like Canada. I just thoroughly enjoy Canada. I might actually enjoy Canada just as much as I love bears. I mean,
I can tell you,
ketchup flavored potato chips.
I haven't been up there fishing or hunting, but I was up there fishing, and it was freaking gorgeous up there.
Yep, yeah, it's super cool. Getting to go up there to Ontario, you know, with Sam, because Sam's like a damn local. At this point,
everyone knows him up there.
Yeah, he's almost dual residency.
Yeah.
It's like
I got my green
you could
card.
Probably claim that. Yeah, my green since card. You're out there so much.
I do.
Well, they accepted me, you know what I mean? Just because I was with Sam. Yeah. It made the experience so much cooler because everybody was just instantly so nice and it was funny and hearing his stories.
Right. And it's a bunch of hunters too. So you know you're walking into a great group of guys already. Even before you get there.
You know, in Nipigon, that's the little town we hunt out of. I think there might be 2,000 people in
tops.
That town, you know, and out of the 2,000, you know, half of them are hunters,
right?
And you know, and to them, to the Canadians, the bears are like raccoons are down here. They don't enthuse them. They don't want them around,
right?
You know, so it's not like they're in there chasing your buck on the property next to you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Oh yeah.
I mean, they want you. They want the American hunter to come up and harvest a bear. I mean, they're happy for you.
Yeah, if you're
that's a great thing too.
If you're hunting a bear in Canada, they know that you're from the lower 48. Well, you're not local.
Yeah, local.
Because they don't
even mess with them.
No, not at all. No. So there's no competition. You know, you're not coming in on anybody's. Just when you were walking before you walked in, we were talking about the comparison, like whitetails.
Yeah,
oh, man, that's my whitetail.
Right,
that's a thing.
Nobody's naming bears in Ontario.
No.
I can tell you that right now.
That's funny. Yep. That's a thing here. Having more experience and doing some of these Western hunts, I love whitetails, always will. I'm rooted to that, and I just love whitetails. I do. But I hope when people, if you haven't hunted out west, the adventure and the not knowing anything really about the animals, like you're learning it all. It's that to me makes me hungry to do Western hunts more and more. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when I hunted, you know, South Dakota and then Oregon and then came home for whitetails, my first day in the stand, I was like, this sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
like, I want to run around.
Run and gun.
I'm telling you.
Run and gun.
Make it happen. Yeah. Not wait for it to happen.
I mean, you know, you're trying to.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, hunt mule deer because you're just walking all day long. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
I've told Sam this. I said, I'm a whitetail guy. That's what I cut my teeth on. But as time goes on, every season, it's like I keep thinking about Western hunts more, and I think about bear hunts, and I think about other locations. Same thing, rip and run, and then you go sit in a tree stand, and you're just kind of like,
Yeah.
Well, this kind of sucks.
It does suck.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to get on the ground and walk around.
Walk around a little bit.
That's fair, though. I don't think anyone can blame us for that. It's adventure.
No. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I love shooting antelope, too.
Dude. Yes.
I mean, that's my other love.
I'm going back. Mm-hmm. You guys mounted my first antelope ever. He's not a giant, but spot and stock antelope, first day, second stock. I was so happy.
Isn't that cool?
I love it. I'm going back this year to South Dakota with my boys, and now I'm going to try and hold out for like Pope and Young caliber type antelope. And
I hunt in Wyoming. I've been doing that for years. We just got one nice little area that we always draw. We know where all the boundaries are.
And, yeah.
You know, we don't do it every year. I used to.
Yeah.
You know, but I used to go like the last week of archery season, first day of rifle season, because all you got to do, you know, you buy your antelope tag in Wyoming and then you buy an archery permit to hunt it with archery.
Right.
So then we would hunt, you know, 5-6 days with our bow, and if we didn't get one, then you whack one with the gun, you know.
Right, yeah.
But
you guys do amazing antelope work, too.
We could do a bunch of them.
Dude, when I was there, dropped off my bear, Julian on his in his workstation had a like a pedestal style antelope mount, and that beautiful.
Oh yeah, antelopes gorgeous mounted. I mean, they're just absolutely they're very beautiful animals.
The coloration and just and what I like about it too is, you know, I enjoy when people who don't hunt don't know anything about hunting. It's not in their realm. Like most of it's. You know, I have a few friends that don't hunt, but it's rare nowadays. Like right. Most of them are hardcore guys.
What's wrong with them?
They just don't get it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like they're just, I don't know what they're missing, but it's very rare nowadays. Almost all my friends are great.
Might be testicles.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll small bear dicks.
Yeah. That's what I'm
thinking of. But it's mostly my wife's side, her family and all that, but just people are like, what is that? Where do they live? Like they've never seen an antelope before.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, so, I mean, you guys do quite a few antelope every year, don't you?
We do. You know, we have a shop right outside of Denver, Colorado.
Perfect.
So, yeah, we're in Frederick right now, getting ready to move. I think to Longmont, I think, is the town we're moving to.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, I think, I don't know, we did, 38 bears,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah.
Okay. Or bear or antelope, rather.
And did them in, like, spurts where it would be, like, 18 in this group and then, like, 10 in this group.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd go in there some weeks and I'm like, holy shit, it's an antelope.
The whole herd's there. You know?
Yeah.
But
with our shop out there, I bought a gentleman out named Tim Cooley. And Tim actually moved back to Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And that was his shop. He took it from the baby up to a monster. It was a nice shop. And he just had some life changes and wife thing and needed to move closer to some kids, basically.
Right.
But we left one taxidermist out there, so we have one full-time guy there. And this kid, he's a young kid, but he just is incredible with mule deer and elk. So I leave the mule deer and elk out there, and we bring everything back to Iowa. You know, the bears, the antelope, all the birds, the fish, everything comes to Iowa, then it gets mounted. And then Linda and I, we truck out there about every 6 weeks with a whole trailer load of done stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it works out really nice.
That's awesome. Where you get caught up on all the podcast stuff.
Exactly. You know, honest to God, when I leave Fort Madison, I got you guys on. And when I come back to Fort Madison, I got you on.
That means awesome. A lot, man.
So, that does mean a lot.
Oh, I love them.
I'm surprised you don't hate us.
No, just opposite.
Well, I think you're being nice just because you're in the studio, but I do appreciate that.
No, it's cool. You know, I'm an old fart. You know, I kind of dusty. So I didn't know what a podcast was until recently. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I heard about it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So I got, I'm like, wow, this is really freaking fun here.
Well, it's like, you know, it's a new thing because it's like internet based.
Yeah.
But it's an old thing, you know, it's a radio show.
Talk show.
But that's what's cool about it because you can turn a podcast on about anything you're into.
Yeah.
You know, and
they have podcasts on everything you're into.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Literally.
But yeah, that's what's great. Like, it's just cool. I love it. I love doing it. We have a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's cool when people listen. You know, I joke around like that, and I don't get it because I listen to some podcasts. Well, I guess I should put myself like in my own shoes from that angle. Like, I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. I don't listen to any hunting podcasts. Some.
Yeah.
I'm trying to dabble in deeper, but.
Yeah. I've got a couple of hunting ones I like to listen to. Just one of them because it's a good friend of mine, you know, so I listen to that.
Yeah.
And it's got some nice, some fun content. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Love listening to you guys.
Appreciate that, man.
You know, I live right where I work.
Yeah.
So it's not like I got to commute to listen to a podcast. So,
about 2 minutes a day listening to a podcast.
Yeah, like when I know John's going to be on or I know some special somebody that I know, that then you know, I'll kick it on and listen to it for sure right then. But I can usually, you know, in 18, 19 hours, I can catch up on a lot of your stuff.
Right. That's a haul, man. Yeah, I mean, you can pile up on sometimes 18 episodes, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. Oh, it works out good, man. Like, you know, it's...
I could even have to go pee sometimes. I'd be sitting in the truck, got to pee, and I got to finish listening to you. I think one time I might have pissed my pants.
Dude, if that actually happened, and if that ever happens, you just get me a photo, and I'll frame of your piss pants, and then we'll take a picture.
I'm taking the pins.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting old enough. I might be able to pull that off.
There you go. You just become the most efficient podcast listener of all time. Yeah. You're willing to piss your pants to finish our content. Cool?
That would actually be badass.
That actually is really cool.
I won't get any taxidermy work ever again. People are going to think that dusty old bastard over there pissing his pants.
Over there just pissing his pants.
You're on our show. By this point, everyone's like, hell yeah, I want a taxidermy to piss his pants so he's getting our shit done.
No, awesome. But I love your podcast. It's really cool.
Well, we love being partners with you guys, man. It's I think this is just really the beginning.
Oh yeah,
you know, because we're getting to know you so well. We're becoming frequent at the shop and getting to see everything. You know, I know Julian, good friends with Johnny, of course. We're becoming great friends. It's turning into it just makes sense.
Yeah, great family. And it always turns into a family thing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I mean, you just start loving on one another. That's the main thing.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, like, I'm learning a lot about, like, business relationship in the industry and stuff, and sometimes things just don't work out. But the ones that do, you find that common ground, and you build the friendships, and it just snowballs in. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's effortless. It's effortless partnership, and that's what it should be.
Good people find good people.
That's right.
Oh, absolutely.
It's 100%. You know how Sam and I met in the first place? We knew of each other, but didn't know each other personally. Mm-hmm. And there was some mutual people in between us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it made sense. We were able to meet up, and it came in at perfect timing. You know, it's when I was making that decision to go freelance, he was looking for somebody to come in and help out with some marketing stuff.
Influencer.
And so when that whole thing kind of started, you know, picking up steam, and then, you know, I come to Sam, I'm like, hey, these guys are working class. Like,
yeah, that's what I was just going to bring up. You know, this is what this rolled into our relationship.
That's how it all started.
100%.
Yeah, I'm like, I think we need a podcast. And I think that their platform and their, you know, their niche, their audience, like this fits perfectly in with Old Barn and a lot of all this, you know, the synergy of all the stories of how everything comes together. And
you probably don't have a whole lot of 1% money watching.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's not what we're looking for.
No.
Right.
And, you know, we're a working class bow hunter, you know, the 1% money. I mean,
I'm sure a few do.
A few, yeah. Right. A few for sure. Well, I mean, maybe not for sure, but maybe a few. We kind of talked about this before we started recording, you know. I think it's easy to get wrapped up in the industry and the business side of things and want to impress industry peers and all this. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of having a hard change of thought because it's like, we work with who we work with, the people who give us a chance, because we're like one of the first we've been doing this 5.5 years. We were one of the first podcasts to say fuck and say shit, whatever we wanted to say.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, yikes, like at first. But then but that's industry people. And as we roll into it, it's like, we're not doing this show for the industry. Yes, we have industry partners, and they supported us through knowing how we are.
Yeah. We're not doing it for them.
Right. They're just with us. They're supporting us. They're helping us. We're helping them. I love that relationship.
Yep.
But we're doing this for people who listen, not the industry.
Right.
You know, it is important to be in the industry to a point in the right ways. But if so-and-so from Outdoor Channel says, hey, you might not want to use the F-bomb on your podcast. Hey, probably not a good idea to do this. I'm like, well, are you the dude that's working all day welding and cutting, or, you know, working on the pipeline, jamming our podcast?
Yeah.
No, you're fucking not.
No.
Yeah.
You know, so that's who this podcast is for those people. If we're helping you get through your workday, that's who we're doing it for, 100%. So if the industry is mad at us, it's probably just because we call them out on some bullshit.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Just know that to our listeners, you know, if the industry starts getting mad at us, it's because we probably said, hey, you're doing something fucking wrong, and we called them for it. So,
yeah.
And I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm cool with making enemies in the game if I know I'm doing it for the right reasons.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
So, but that just goes to show our partners that we've had and building great relationships, and they've supported us for a long time. You know, they're for it. Yeah. You know, they're for the people.
You know, and
I kind of went on a tangent.
Most people say fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
it happens.
That's not something that's uncommon.
Most hunters do in camp, and you're letting loose. Like you said, you know, I like to have some drinks in camp and let loose, and it's vacation.
Yeah.
It's time to escape.
Yeah. It's shop talk. You
know, and the people that don't want to hear fuck, they don't have to listen.
Yeah, they don't.
It's U.S., it's United States of America here.
And we don't have to say that to be edgy or whatever, but it's just how I talk.
Yeah.
It's how Eric talks, how Steve talks. We all know that.
But, you know, look, you got to look at in what I've watch, you know, through John and you guys is the ethical part of what you represent. Your ethics are above most everybody's ethics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you
guys, appreciate that.
You guys take the hard line on poaching. You take the hard line on trespassing. You take the hard lines, you know, and that's what we want to teach our kids. Our kids are going to hear the F-bomb.
Oh, it's no matter where they go.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I got my kids in private school in here.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you can't escape it. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
Yeah, yeah. But just the stance that you take, and I know you take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not the popular stance.
It's not. Not in the industry, surprisingly.
No, but man, my hat's off.
Appreciate that. Wow. Yeah, well, we've always took that stance, you know. And it's easy for a lot of people to maybe be influenced from other directions to do shady things that people aren't looking. I get that to a point. Like, people fuck up. I get it. But
life happens.
Life happens. You know, things – not every situation is black and white.
No.
Right.
But I just – hunting means a lot to me, and it's hunting's the one thing that's kept my life – kept me motivated in life, and I care deeply about it.
That's like our taxidermy shop. You know, I don't want the poachers.
No, you can't.
And they know I don't want the poachers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you if something's not poached. I don't know. You know, somebody could poach something, put a tag on it. I don't know the difference.
Right.
Sure.
It's not your job to dig into it at that point. Like, you're a taxidermy shop.
But, you know, like our local CO, I mean, you know, Ben, John's good friends with him. I'm good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows who the guys are that are taking to the – or what taxidermy firms are taking to poach heads.
Right, right.
You know, that's not us.
Right.
Yep. You know, and if we do happen to have one and we have a CO call, I say, yeah, it's here. Come get it.
You know,
I didn't know it was poached. It's not – like I said, I'm not the cops.
It's not your job to dig into
I'm
that.
Not the cops exactly. at all, but it's my job to say, yeah, I have that. If you want it, come and get it, you know.
Yeah.
And in all the years I've been doing this, I've had three things confiscated.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Just
and
three.
And that's pretty good odds, for, you know, considering
I've
how much
thousands.
You take in.
I've
yeah.
done thousands of, and I've had three things confiscated. So then poachers don't come. Because they know, you know, we yeah. try to.
They're
we,
trying to hide that shit low.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, we try to run.
There's a taxidermy shop. They're taking it in the back door.
Yeah, there's two you doors.
The one with the bricks falling off.
This one don't even have bricks falling off.
No. Well, and that's, you know, I think I heard it somewhere. You take the tagged animals in the front door and the untagged animals through the back door.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of certain shops. So, and that's the coolest thing. Like I said, man, when Sam and I first hooked up and I was starting this freelance, this avenue. And I'm like, man, I really hope this works. And being in the shop and seeing the way they do things. And I've heard the private conversations where they're like, you know what, we probably ought to call that client and let him know, like, there's a part of his hide that I'm not real happy with. And
yeah,
I want to make sure he gets the best piece. I hear these little things.
Right.
And I'm just like, fuck yes. I'm working for a good, solid company. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was like, I mean, I needed the money. You know what I mean? Like, I needed to get things up and rolling. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe.
Johnny could buy eat Roman noodles for what I pay him. Twice a week.
Damn. The shrimp flavored ones,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
But, nice. I mean, in all seriousness, though, like, Sam, they do such an amazing job down there. And having that family culture, you know, it's like he mentioned, the whole family works there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, his sons and Linda, and it's – they've made me feel like a part of the family. And then that is infectious in the work that you see going out.
Yeah.
And then all of their clients, repeat clients, they're like family. Like, I mean, if I'm like a stepson, the clients are cousins. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, and the first time that I went down there was for the party down there. I was down hunting down that way. Yep. So I'm like, oh, I'll swing by, you know, and you walk in and right away you feel like family.
Yeah.
Yep.
You feel like family. Within 20 minutes there, we're taking a tour. You know, we're bullshitting with Sam, you know, and everyone's just telling deer stories, and it was a fucking blast.
That party was just huge.
That was awesome.
I wish I would have been there the whole time. I was hunting and showed up late, but I felt the same way, too. I showed up late, but even going to the shop anytime to pick up a critter or whatever, walk in and, like, Linda's chatting with me. What's up, Kurt? How you been? And then everyone's like, hey, man, what's going on? Like, you don't feel like... It's not uncomfortable anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So it's cool.
It's got to be an experience.
And just to mention this, too, if any of you guys out there, girls, have a turkey that is still in your freezer, get it over to Old Barn so they can
There's another box of Roman noodles. You know, I tell you.
He's earning it.
He's earning it.
Like, shrimp flavor.
Yeah. I'm working for
I got to tell you, and just all props to John. When John come in, we were doing some okay social media, but I'm not, I'm old.
Yeah, yeah.
And my youngest son, Dusty. Colton.
Just use the word Dusty.
Yeah, I'm Dusty. My youngest son, Colton, he's really coming onto himself.
Yes.
He's doing a good job. Yep. But John come in, he said, are you taking pictures everybody leaves here at the mount? I said, occasionally. He said, I am going to kick your ass if you don't have a picture of everybody leaves that shop with a mount. So I started that Happy Hunters, that hashtag Happy Hunters.
Yeah.
People love that.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Like, if I forget to post one, I get a text. Hey, man, I've never seen my picture yet, you know?
Oh, yeah, mine was, I left with my $2, and I was just getting in and out. I didn't know what John was up to, and John lives right next to it. On my way home, I get a call, or you text me, hey, fucker, yeah. I live 15 minutes from Old Barn. You're going to go there and not call me? Yes, and I'm buddy. Like, call him, like, is. Dude, I'm sorry, da, 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 you know? And my photo had been posted.
Yeah,
sorry. As soon as I left, so it's cool. It is neat.
Yeah,
it's
so he fun. Knew right away that you were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I should have let him know.
He could smell you.
I admit, hey, bud, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. Well, and it's like I said, it's so cool because like the Happy Hunters, like no person should ever leave that shop without getting their picture taken. You know, with
because
we all like to get our name in the paper. We all like to see ourselves on that.
From a marketing standpoint, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because they share it.
Yeah.
So now you know you got their 300-400, maybe 1,000 people seeing it.
Yep.
You know, from a marketing, you know, and it just totally went right over my head. You know?
That stuff's easy to miss because it's right in front of you. It's just
He's incredible with marketing.
Well, John, marketing I mean, I've been it. Hunting down in your backyard for years, and I didn't even know about you.
I know.
Yeah. We're working on that. You won't even be able to say the word whitetail without Old Barn. Facebook sending you an Old Barn ad somewhere.
Yeah, we decided to step it up a level.
Yeah.
Our advertising
that's
this
good.
Year.
Yeah,
good. Know? I mean, you got to right. You know,
yeah.
It's you know we got to what we got to do is figure out how to way to infiltrate the wives' brains to let more taxidermy into the living rooms of these hardcore hunters. So
Kelly called it the house of death the other day.
Lovely room of death. Yeah,
you know, and that's something that I try to dig into when we're talking about it, somebody brings in a nice piece, I kind of want to know where you're putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is mama going to want you to have it in the garage, you know?
Yeah.
Because it makes a difference as far as not the quality of the mount you get, but maybe
the position.
Yeah,
or...
well, maybe you don't want to spend the extra money for a wall pedestal or this or that. Sure. If you just can't really get it up to enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Because, you know, as you go stepping that stuff up, it all costs more money, and everybody's got a budget.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a strong believer in price it high, watch it die, or price it low and watch it go. You know, we're not the most expensive. I mean, but we're a little more money than a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like to bring them in and I say, is this going to go in the garage? No, no, it gets to go, you know.
Yeah, right.
In the living room. Well, then let's do something spectacular.
Yeah,
you're right. You're going to sit and look at that every night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Literally every night.
You know, when you're sitting there and mom's watching Hallmark Channel, and that's what we watch in my house, I could tell you every episode and who falls in love with who.
You know, every day.
Every day. So, you know, what do? I sit there and I look at my deer mount. You know, and I'm like, oh.
Yep, I'm watching this with you, babe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'm paying attention.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I bet she falls in love with him.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it 42 times.
Exactly. Same old story.
Well, I mean, I do that too. You know, that's my old lady would never tell me. Like, you know, it's always a thing like, oh, I brought two home. I got to rearrange everything. And I'm going to. Like, I got the full range systems. I'm going to, I'm trying to fit 8 deer on
aren't
that
those
wall.
Full range amazing?
Dude, incredible. It's a game changer.
It's
a game changer.
Yeah. They are for sure.
It's even nice for my shop. I can fit more deer in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And Sam's cool with it, man. Like, she thinks it's neat. It's kind of like...
I love your wife's name.
The man. Thing. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. That's why I might be attracted to you. I don't know what it is. Something with
it must be the name.
Just the name.
It's got to be the name.
It's all it needs.
I think it's my looks, but...
Well, it's a little both. Yeah. The name helped. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It just makes it easier for me.
It goes there.
It goes there. So when I text you, I say, hey, babe.
You don't have to remember.
Hey, babe.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Wrong Sam.
Yeah. Oh, wrong Sam.
I wondered why I got that.
Love you.
Love you.
Kissing emojis. It's just what it is.
Yeah. My phone is Honey 1, Honey 2.
You know, you go. So. Yeah. I like that.
My 1 or 2.
I don't even remember where I was going. I got so distracted.
Shit, call out.
Holla.
I literally forgot what I was talking about.
Full range systems.
Sticking
stuff in your living room.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't remember, but I do the look around.
Yeah.
Like, before I go to bed, I kind of look around and I give the salute to the boys. And I'm like,
You tell everyone good night, pat them on the head.
Good job.
Give him a little scratch on the air.
Good job. Yeah. But my wife, I guess we're probably getting to, she understands how much it means to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's our, this is what I was going to say. It's the cool thing. Like, we're the house with the deer heads.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter loves them. Every morning wakes up, deer.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing she says. Yeah. That's her thing. Yeah. I walk around, she pets them. It's cool.
Yeah.
So taxidermy is a part of my life. That's why I'm.
I'm helping my daughter raise some youngsters. We have three of them living at our house, and they tell everybody we're hunting family.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. We're hunting family.
That's cool. You
know? I mean, yeah.
What do they think of the taxidermy shop? I mean,
I tell you, they love it, and they run back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
The problem I have is they're very social, you know, because they've grown up around people, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, people coming and going,
you know,
all the time.
They come in and they're like, my grandpa wins awards.
Doing the bragging for you.
Yeah. They'll go over there, see all these awards. My grandpa won all these awards.
Yeah.
He's the best taxidermist there is. Yeah. You know, and I just, you know, gleam.
You're like, yes. Yes.
You know, because I don't like to brag on myself, but I do. Well, you know what I'm saying? Well, but it works out great.
Make your grandkids
when
do it
when
for
you. 7-year-old say, my grandpa's the best. Yeah. My grandpa does bears. Did you know he does bears? My grandpa does a really good bear. Yeah.
That's what, you're in good hands here.
Yeah, it's probably like, you know, going about your way, guy. Let me
that's
get the,
oh, get the excuse them.
They're going to be great salesmen when they
you
grow up.
They are.
You never know what's going to come out of their mouth.
Yeah, no, they're silly. That's funny. Well, I'm sure they'll be taxidermists. I mean,
the oldest one now, he's 8, and he can put together a pretty mean bear head.
No kidding.
Yes, I get to give seminars. I used to be the president of our state association.
Really?
Our state taxidermy association. Well, I'm kind of known in the industry as the bear guy,
uh-huh.
You know, because nobody mm-hmm. likes to do them because you got to do all that extra stupid work to get them to fit. You
right,
know?
Right, yeah.
And I crave that for some
that's cool, man.
Ungodly reason.
It's your niche.
Yeah, but anyhow, with me doing the as many bears as I do, I get asked to do a lot of seminars at the other state shows.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
So we were at Nebraska last year, and I was given a bear rug seminar mm-hmm. showing how to put the shells in the rug and how to cut them and all that right stuff, right? So I took over 2 bears. I was going to do an open mouth and a closed mouth, so I can show them how to do both.
Yeah.
Well, I like to talk, and people like to talk back. Well, you know, I got this 2-hour seminar. I couldn't get through it to do both of them.
Oh, right, right.
So I got the open mouth done, right? So now we're over at our booth, and I've got the closed mouth laying over in the corner with the bear form that I had ready for it. And I'm standing there bullshitting these guys, and I watch them. They're looking over my shoulder. And I turn around, and there's my 7-year-old at the time, and he's stretching that head on that form. And he stretched and he put the eyes where they need to go, and he pulled the mouth and the nose
no
where they
kidding.
Need to go. And he put the ears where they need to go, and then he'd put it up and show everybody like I just did in the seminar.
Right.
Then he'd just tear it back apart and do it again. He sat over there for an hour and built probably 6 bears.
No kidding.
That's crazy. Hour.
Yeah. You know, never put glue or eyes or nothing like that. So I thought, he really likes this, right? So this year, you know, we have a yearly state association show, and they've got a kids class.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll let him do a bear rug. And I had this old, ugly-ass bear that I bought years ago.
Yeah.
And I just hacked it off at the back, and I was just going to do this rug shell and then just have him put a little bit of felt around it.
Uh-huh.
You know, he mounted that bear, and it's as good as a lot of professional
no
bear
kidding.
Guys do. Yeah, and he's 8 years old.
Well, earlier when you were talking about, you know, being a world champion, maybe you can get that, and then he'll be the dude that follows you up.
Or maybe he'll get it and I can live it through his eyes.
Well, that
would
be
just as good.
Oh, yeah. You know? For
like
sure.
I said, I might be past my prime, but
I don't think so, man. I think you're hurting yourself with that mindset a little bit.
Yeah.
You're the guy with the experience, you know?
I've got a great buddy that is a world champion. He told me the same thing. If you say you can, you can. If you say you can't, you won't.
Really?
Yeah.
You
can do it. You got to get that mentality changed around. You got to say, I can, man.
You got the bear experience, man.
Well, I love him enough.
I think you have the mindset and the experience and the knowledge to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if not, let's pray.
You'll do it, man.
I hope so. That'd be the ultimate goal. I wanted to be in Breakthrough Magazine. That was our big trade magazine.
Yeah.
I made it twice last year.
That's awesome,
so
man.
I framed it. It's in the showroom.
I remember Breakthrough Magazine from being at Mark's, helping him with taxidermy, and being at Joe's class.
It is the magazine.
It's like the standard.
It is the...
For taxidermy?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I made that thing twice last year, so...
Damn,
that's awesome.
You got those like framed up somewhere?
I do, right in my shop.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen them. I just
looking
at all the other taxidermy that I might have skimmed them. Sorry. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
that's,
it was cool. I was happy.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof for a few days.
Yeah, I bet so, man.
My wife got tired of me bragging.
Hey, you just have your grandkids do it for you.
I know it. I know it.
See, this is my grandpa on this magazine. What's your grandpa
doing? That's a good idea. That's a good idea. What's your grandpa do? Hopefully he shoots them and brings them in for my grandpa to mount them.
Yeah, exactly. There's some marketing right there, man. Yeah,
that is marketing for sure.
Yep. Well, man, I appreciate you coming in. I had a blast.
This has been wonderful.
I hope that you'll come back to podcast again,
man. I will
come
back every week.
Let's do a every week. Let's do it.
Once a week.
Let's do
it. Replace
Steve. Yeah, before we sign off. But what I want to do before Whitetail season starts, let's get you guys back in and talk Whitetails.
I'd love to. So we got some big stuff getting ready to happen.
Okay.
I think me and you might have some big stuff to announce.
Yeah, we can hope. Let's wait a little bit.
Yes, we'll hope.
We're working on some stuff.
We are.
Some stuff rolling.
We do.
Whitetail episode on the docket.
Yep.
Maybe get Julian in on that one, too.
Julian's
been on before.
Isn't he amazing?
Great dude.
He is a good dude.
Great guy. That guy is so passionate about taxidermy.
Super passionate about it.
He loves it.
You know, and he's one of the nicest guys you've ever going to meet.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. He did my mule deer.
Yep. Yep. You know, Julian has never said fuck.
Really?
No, he does not cuss. He does not.
I'm trying to think.
You didn't know that. I swear to God.
He's very soft-spoken and very kind. I don't see him as that type of dude, but...
He's a gentle soul.
He is a gentle soul.
Yeah.
He did a podcast with Mark Reif. We did a taxidermy collab podcast.
Yeah.
And it was cool to just kind of just hear them both chat about taxidermy. It was fun.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, we'll map that out. And then Johnny in here so has some grunt tubes. Oh, mine's in the kitchen. But talk about it, man.
Yeah, so with bourbon barrel calls, the next kind of facet of that right now would be the whitetail grunt tube. So it's also made from 100% good old Kentucky bourbon barrel lids as well, reclaimed wood. And I brought Eric and Kurt their own bourbon barrel call.
Good.
And they actually do sound pretty good. We'll
try it in the mic. Yeah, I think it sounded good.
It does.
It's a pretty cool piece. They're on the website right now, and there's a couple of pretty cool, exciting things happening with bourbon barrel calls. There's a couple of other species of calls that are being prototyped right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't primarily walk. These species fly.
Mm-hmm.
So close enough.
Okay.
As far as we're going to take it, huh?
But you're going to have to guess from there. So there's that in the works. There is a large retail box store that Bourbon Barrel Calls is going to be going into.
Ooh, that's exciting.
That is cool.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I won't pry yet. I want to pry, but I won't.
Yeah.
John's been on the fence about this.
I have been. It.
He likes that.
I love the direct to consumer, and I really struggled with it. Obviously, during the Wicked days, I had a ton of products that were in box stores nationally, and I wasn't really happy with it.
Really,
nobody can sell your brand as good as you can sell your brand.
Of course,
right?
Yeah, it's true.
And
you got to make a living.
Yes, but you have to make a living.
Yep.
And I mean, you're giving up so many margins, as well. And sometimes it's almost like you're just turning over dollars. But nonetheless, this particular box store is very well respected. All of their stores
legit.
They're nice. They're multi-leveled stores. Ooh. A lot.
Okay.
Usually there's an escalator.
Yes. only people who know will know.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, that is in the works. UPC codes and all that process is being started up. But got that going on, and got a project. I've talked about this last time with National Wild Turkey Federation. Mm-hmm. That project is complete. So now we're just waiting on the promo cards to start inserting to the box. And then $5 from every call is in that collaborative project with the White Oak Foundation and NWTF.
Very cool, man.
Solidifies that. Trying to think what else we got, but check out the grunt tubes. They sound really cool. And like I said, it's a nice entry point. It's not like dropping $100, on one of the turkey calls.
Yeah.
You can get into a grunt tube and still have, some reclaimed bourbon barrel wood.
Hell yeah.
For you there. So yeah.
And they sound great too, man.
And there's another piece, but I'm going to keep that one for Bourbon Barrel.
Okay.
Yeah, under wraps. But, yeah, there's lots of cool things. It's been pretty neat. It's just been a cool, evolving project.
Yeah, congratulations on the success and the big deals. And I'm glad we got to be a little sliver of that part. Heck yeah. You know,
yeah.
So
yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's awesome to see it from the beginning to where you're at now, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, it keeps changing. So, and you guys grill out, I'm sure.
Yeah, occasionally.
Okay, all right, well. I've got a little something coming for you next week to help your grilling flavors.
Ooh, I like it. Hell yeah.
I like where you're going here.
Uh-huh.
Man, you're on top of it, man.
He is.
It's yeah. a good,
you're always fucking thinking.
He's a
thinking.
Guru.
He's always thinking.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
is.
I like it, man. Marketing yep. brain. Marketing wage brain.
Always. You got to do it. You got to stay one step ahead, man. And like we talked about before, so much of this stuff is like right in front of your face. You just... People, they yeah, want to go for the it. Big piece, and they're missing all that little piece
right.
where nobody else is. And
right.
it's fun. We just sit around, just bounce ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
Yeah, fun it is too. Cool.
Yep. And Sam, you know, Sam has that big business history.
He gets it.
Yeah, he gets it. And you know, yeah, there's new technology out there, but it's not new principles. No. It's all the same old right. shit. It's yeah. just a new way of doing it.
Right. For sure.
Yep. Well, people don't understand even any small business, you got to be spending, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10% for your advertising budget.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
to maintain.
So, yeah.
For 15 sure. if you want to be aggressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and people don't want to do that and they wonder why they don't have any money.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
You know, you got to spend it to make it.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know,
that's the thing. And that's the cool thing with us is like the power of podcasts are, it's hot right now and
mm-hmm.
so it works. But, you know, we also got to think about that too.
Yeah.
From our
and
perspective.
Have you guys, I know Bourbon Barrel is donating some calls and stuff for the shoot.
Yep. This might air after the shoot by the time. But,
oh, okay.
But if you're at the
shoot. Well, congratulations to the winner.
There you go. Perfect. It's the beauty of podcast life.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, congratulations to you.
Congratulations, you. Yeah. I was pulling for you the whole time, actually.
There you go. I knew you were going to win it.
Yeah.
Then you can buy... the Bourbon Barrel calls at workingclassbowhunter.com.
Yes, you can.
Offer them. Yeah. And you can get it well, with our logo on them because we're awesome and you want one.
So. Yeah, so we've got both both models. Well, we have the Antler Mike logo and then we have the big WCB as well. So you can choose.
I like both.
I know. I like both. The Antler Mike one has been the more popular.
Yeah.
That logo there has been.
Yep.
Has been more popular. It's been the hotter sale, but yeah, they're both cool ass logos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a decent amount for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've sold a lot of those calls.
Yeah. Yeah. We we passed I've got call number 510 that shipped out today.
That's pretty awesome.
510 of those things since November.
Yeah.
That's incredible, man.
You build every one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single piece has literally been assembled by me.
Dang. The hands of John. Tester, Utah.
If
my wife only knew what she's missing.
No shit. That's funny.
Well, hey, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's awesome to see. It's cool to have both you guys in here on the same podcast. Absolutely. It makes sense, right? You guys are a team. We're all a team now.
Yeah. Yes. So, we all are.
Yeah. Very cool.
We appreciate you. I mean, the shout outs you guys do are just amazing.
Yeah. Thanks for not making me look like a dick by suggesting you guys.
We could have screwed John over real fast. That's a good point. We tried to pull it through on the deal.
Yeah.
But no, man, to us, it makes sense. And I'm looking forward to the future and rolling this into more heavy involvement, you know?
Yeah, so,
sure.
But we do appreciate you guys coming out to the studio. I know it's tough to get in here sometimes. Schedules are tough to map out, but I'm glad we finally got it done. And
yeah.
Heck yeah.
So it's like once you do it, they're easier now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Now you actually want to make the drive and come back up and have a podcast.
Well, it's fun. I mean,
it is fun.
Yeah, I'm a people person. Sam's a people person. You guys, you know, like it makes more sense having everybody together like that. And
I'm kind of shy. I don't like to talk.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell by how bashful you were from when we started the podcast.
Right.
Which it's always like a thing of concern. Like when you have a new guest, you're like, it's going to take them a minute, but some people just take it and run. You
Sam's
know?
Like, no, I think I got bear dick.
Yeah. Bear dicks?
Bear dicks.
Got this.
He thought about it the whole way here. I just want to bring up bear dicks.
I got it. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. I'll run with that son of a bitch.
Oh, man. Awesome. But no, like I said earlier, in all seriousness, if anybody is still sitting on some turkeys, get those turkeys out of the freezer, get them over to Old Barn. Got the $9.75 special
yep.
that either comes with your choice of a limb or you can get it with a habitat base. So you can put it on your own pedestal or just set it on a table, whatever you want to do. Yeah. But that's
kitchen
a full
table.
Yeah.
And our turkeys are freaking incredible.
Oh,
they
yeah.
are nice.
It's
man.
Unbelievable. Tim is just crushing it in there.
Cameron Tank's got one there. He dropped it off at one of his outposts at R&R.
Yep.
And basically, he didn't have to drive to Fort Madison, Iowa, which he was happy about.
Yeah.
You know, that outpost thing works good. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's super convenient.
With me being in hunting camps everywhere, I've made great friendships all over the mm-hmm. Midwest. You know, and all those guys want to use us, so you mm-hmm. know, we can accommodate a lot of people.
You know, I'm gonna say it. We're talking about it. We're trying to see if I could be. The studio, the podcast studio, could be an outpost for Old Barn.
Yeah.
I might as well just say it. We're talking about it.
Let's talk.
We got to see if it's going to work, you know.
Yes. I think it will. I think it'll be huge for us.
Yeah. And plus, you know, I'm in the middle of big buck country here, so. Yeah.
Plus your score.
Yeah.
And you love to handle deer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a fit.
It makes it makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you could drop your stuff off with Kurt, get it scored. Huge. It goes into a freezer, and then it gets, you know, taken over to Old Barn, you know, for the mount. So.
Yep. It's huge.
Yeah,
makes sense. We deliver back here.
Yeah.
You know, that way that, you know, they can come and pick it up. And,
yeah.
You know, plus I can get you out of that job. You're working a job.
Hey, let's talk about it, man. There's some bears I got to kill, huh?
We're moving that direction, I'm telling you.
All right, man. I'm up for it. Let's talk about it. All right, let's close her out right there. That's a perfect spot to close it out.
Absolutely.
Hopefully my boss doesn't listen to the full episodes.
If he does, I will.
Yeah, he knows, man.
This is my 2-week notice.
Yeah, hey. Sorry, Don.
You got
He gets it, man.
You do have to make your announcement. If and when that day comes, you have to make it on the podcast.
just go to work and be like, hey, you got to listen to this episode real quick.
I recorded something for you.
Email them through my John Deere email.
I called your name out on the podcast. Just listen to it.
You might want to listen to it.
I kind of want to be here that day, too.
Well, if it ever gets to that point, we'll do it.
There you go.
Burning bridges. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.